gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Oh, be still my heart. Aisha Tyler and Alan Grayson on the same show. I love my life. Along with Charlie Pierce.
Yep.
Does it get better?
No.
No.
No, it does not. No.
All right. I'm sure you saw it. We'll play the clip again. Alan Grayson kicking ass on Real Time with Bill Maher.
Did you find it in your TiVo?
No.
No?
No.
Oh.
I can't locate anything.
They rerun it quite a few times, you know.
Oh, I have a brand new technological problem I've never experienced before. The sound has gone out on my cable box. Just on the cable box, I had to have the stereo guy come over, and I because it's the weirdest thing. I have picture, I have no sound, either through the stereo system or the television itself. And he said the audio function has gone dead on my cable.
Kablooey.
Yes.
Yes.
My box is fried.
Your box has no sound?
No.
Hmm.
I need my box replaced, apparently.
Hmm. Yeah. You've been having to replace a lot of your electronic equipment lately.
Yes.
Why?
Mercury's retrograde or something.
No, I think it's cats.
I have cats. That's what it is.
That's what it is. Cats chew through things and cats shed.
SexyLiberal.com, SexyLiberal on Facebook, kids. SexyLiberal, Aisha Tyler is scaling up the wall of the building as she normally does.
Yep.
She just can't come in a normal way at a normal time. She sometimes uses suction cups.
Yep, in her sleeveless white turtleneck that she wears on Archer.
Yes, in her very Archer-esque way. However, we have the big hometown party coming up in Los Angeles, October 21st, 22nd. Some of the proceeds going to the Trevor Project here in Los Angeles. And I don't know, but down the list, it's... Here's the craziest one.
What?
Phoenix, February 25th, already sold out. February. That's in February.
Yeah.
Now we had to add another one.
2011 marked the birth of our generation's greatest liberal comedy tour. In 2012, Phoenix, Arizona will witness the ascension of the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show to reaffirm its comedic immortality. By popular demand, Stephanie Miller,
I'm the devil's candy,
and her sexy liberal players will bring their special brand of sweltering sexy liberal comedy to the Orpheum Theater for a second helping of hotness on Friday, February 24th. But it's a dry heat. Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com or by calling 602-262-7272. Come spite Sheriff Arpaio and pitch a tent with your fellow undocumented progressives. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show at the Orpheum Theater on February 24th. Phoenix,
right.
It would be a cardinal sin to miss
it. Ah, get it? Ah. All right. All right, kids. So, wow, I'm kind of a political geek, and so I'm excited because
why?
Republican debate tonight.
I know. At Dartmouth.
Alan Grayson, Aisha Tyler, Charlie Pierce on the show today. Debate tonight, which is going to be awesome because they're all dumb as stumps.
And it's at Dartmouth, which is Aisha Tyler's alma mater.
I know it.
Yeah.
They're gonna dumb up Dartmouth. Aisha Tyler's going to have to go back and get an honorary degree to smarten it up again.
Yeah.
Well, listen, the latest is, you've heard this Herman Cain soundbite, right? Like, not only mispronouncing, making fun of Uzbekistan. I'm telling you, it is a race to the bottom of dumb. The Republican, it's like they wear it like a badge of honor.
Yeah.
That, no, I don't know who the president of anything is, and I don't care.
And I will ask the journalist, do you know who the president is?
Yeah, I'm not going to take those gotcha questions. Yeah, this is it. This is the soundbite.
I'm ready for the gotcha questions. And they are already starting to come. And when they ask me who's the president of you, Becky, Stan, I'm going to say, I don't know.
I don't
know. And then I'm going to say, how's that going to create one job?
See, he's already told us that's clever.
Yeah.
I'm just going to make it about jobs, the fact that I don't know anything about anything outside of this country.
You know, the presidency has to do with more than just jobs, Herman.
Yeah. Good morning. Wait, we have a new jingle. Get it and fire it up. She's here. She is suction cupped off the side of the... Come on, it's new. Mike and Raleigh has made it new. Go. Get...
Aisha.
We got a choir.
Aisha. Here we go. Aisha.
that's...
Oh, wow.
Oh, that was simple and elegant, just
it
like
was.
You.
Oh, they're very nice, simple, elegant, and started slightly late. So,
yes, you're absolutely
and
right.
late.
Yeah, it was just like me. Wow. Either that he hired some fantastic choir, or he put his voice into a
yes.
computer and his it made his voice into
no,
30
he,
voices.
No, he recorded all the different tracks of that.
Wow.
By himself.
I love
yeah.
it.
Wow.
Yeah. They actually... Aren't some of those jingles, they actually did get singers in some studio somewhere in Dallas?
Yeah.
Which
yes.
just cracked me up.
Yes.
Wow. I say this with gratitude and respect.
Yes.
Do people have jobs?
They apparently not.
It's amazing.
He's an imaging guy for a radio station.
That's so cool.
We have the
so
largest
generous.
Population of people with entirely too much free time
right?
of any radio audience.
Well, we love you.
But
it's nice because you know that your radio audience in their time off is busy creating and making things, whereas
yeah.
most radio audiences in their spare time
yeah.
are,
oh,
you know, yes.
Remember the guy that did the George Bush, Hey Mickey to Hey Steffi? Remember that?
Oh.
This took some time. This took some... I'm just telling you... this is exactly what comes to my mind.
Okay.
Yeah. How long did this take?
Forever.
Yeah, hang on.
Oh, Steffi, you're so fine. You're so fine. You blow my mind. Oh, Steffi. Yeah, Steffi.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Steffi, you're so fine. You're so fine. You blow my mind. Oh, Steffi. Yeah, Steffi.
Yeah.
Oh, Steffi, you're so fine. You're so fine. You blow my mind. Oh, Steffi. Oh, Steffi, what's a board like me supposed to do? You really try me wild when you get sweaty in this suit. Oh, Steffi, how I love that talk show thing you do. It's hosts like you. Don't you do, Steffi, do, Steffi, up in this suit, Steffi. Steffi, now.
Wow. I mean,
yeah.
come on.
Wow.
Come on with it.
That is impressive.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
is highly, highly impressive.
All right. So you need to go back to Dartmouth after tonight and sweep up the dumb that is going to be left on the stage after the Republican debate.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Dartmouth, are you paying attention? You need to give Aisha Tyler an honorary degree of some, to have her come back in another degree.
Give me a secondary
yes.
degree in what I wanted to study, which was engineering, until I figured out there was a lot of math.
Yeah. I was a business major until I figured out there was a lot of
right.
math and accounting.
So much math. Too yeah. much math. I was yeah. like, can't I just go engineer some stuff? Let's do this.
Oh, look at her. She's like a human Barbie. Math is hard.
It is. Math is tough.
Math is tough.
Ick.
Too much math. Yeah, we were just saying, though, it really is. It's like a badge of honor. They're the know-nothings. It's like
right.
Pierce, Chris Matthews at the party of know-nothings.
Yeah, yeah.
What? Why?
Right. It's true. And it's,
yeah.
and it's, it has become a badge of honor. It's become like a defiance.
Yes.
I'm stupid.
I know.
I'm stupid and I don't care.
But I just even mocking the name of another country, it's just
embarrassing. Embarrassing.
First of all, Herman Cain, by the way, the Obama administration is currently in discussions with Uzbekistan about increasing military supply routes to the U.S.-led Afghanistan war through the former Soviet. It's a former Soviet republic, Herman, so it's
yes.
somewhat important in that...
Yeah. in that it's got stuff and it's next to our previous most... Major,
yeah.
previous most major enemy and now ally.
Yeah.
When we're not ignoring them.
See, could there be more cattywampusness in this race? Look at this. The Zogby poll has Herman Cain 20 points ahead of Mitt Romney.
In certain states.
Well, yeah, that's like the national poll.
Right.
But so, you know, in the state by state, right?
Right.
You know, what do you call it? The Iowa, New Hampshire. What do you call it? The Marist poll showing
right.
Romney ahead. Who knows?
Who knows?
And now that could all implode because the newly obtained White House records provide fresh details on how senior Obama administration officials used Mitt Romney's health care law in Massachusetts as a model for the federal law, including recruiting some of Romney's own health care experts to help craft it.
This is
Oops.
The thing about them, about
and
this particular...
And another one down.
Now I buy that too. He's going to get you too, Herman. Because what's been amazing to me is how many times this administration has really presented the other side's ideas to them and had them rejected.
Yes.
I mean, that's got to be confusing. That's got to lead to some kind of an identity crisis.
Yeah, well,
but,
exactly.
But you just said you wanted this. This is what
yes.
you... What? Wait a minute. What? Who am I? Where am I? I have to lie down.
The president has said that. They can't take yes for an answer.
They really can't.
Like, all right, here is your idea.
No.
Except I did this with my hands.
Yeah.
Do you want it now? No.
Yeah, no, I don't. No, in fact, you did it, and you gave it to me, and I touched it. Then you took it back, and you broke it to a million pieces and threw it into the sandbox. You ungrateful
you
little...
You touched it now, so now it's no good.
You ungrateful toddlers. Good Lord.
Yeah, I don't. And then we've had an outbreak of Mormon Mishigas.
That was exciting.
They're saying, what they're supposed to be saying in the inside voice, with the outside voice.
They're saying with the outside voice and then writing it down and putting it on a sign.
He is not a Christian.
Yeah. It was only a matter of time.
C-word. C-word's been dropped. Cult.
Cult. Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's going to be. I said this a while ago. Not that anybody listens to me.
I do. I listen to every word you say, and I repeat it often.
You should avoid doing that in the future. All of my ideas are very briefly and ill-considered. That you have a field here where the most moderate, the white guy who could win in a general is too liberal for the base.
Yeah.
So what the base wants are the crazies, but any of the crazies that might get nominated will never be able to earn moderates.
Right.
You know, that doesn't mean we should all sit back and cackle, hysterically with glee, but it's this field. And yes, exactly. We've got to find a way to stop crying.
All
but
right.
I mean, this is a crazy field, this field. And then Chris Christie was maybe like the most reasonable kind of person.
That's what I was saying is maybe he didn't because he realized this version today of the Republican Party has gone way too, he's going to wait till
I like the word cattywampus.
Yeah.
That's
all right. Yeah. By the way, I do quote everything you said. I actually wore my Boogity Cheese T-shirt last week, and I my therapist asked what it meant. And I went, okay, well, might be at best. Aisha Tyler, she does this myth. And she said one time.
Oh, boy.
That's how bad it is.
And then this time in band camp.
One time. And then we were in Santa Fe, and Aisha goes, all right.
Awesome.
All right. Back with more Tuesdays with Tyler.
It's so exciting.
Mm-hmm. On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, it's a cross between beautiful and gross. I want to cry and vomit.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal.
Oh, I see. We're playing Dopey Fox commentators,
yeah.
Is that?
Yeah.
Music by Dopey Fox, foreign policy experts. All right, 23 minutes after the hour, Tuesdays with Tyler.
Woo.
Yeah, we were. Hank Williams Jr. has a new song out.
Yeah, it's kind of dumb.
Sigh.
He's lashing out at Fox and Friends because apparently they took him out of context. With his Obama-Hitler analogy.
But you know what? It's nice to have somebody on their side lashing out laterally.
Right.
Oh, and it's bad music.
This country sure as hell been going down the drain.
Oh, boy.
We know what we need. We know who to blame.
You.
United
you.
Socialist States of America.
Ha!
How do you like that name?
Is he drunk still? Awesome. We can keep the chain. What?
Yeah.
I'm confused. Is he seceding?
That just feels like sad and moderately desperate, doesn't it?
It really does.
Yeah. It's just.
Are you ready for some unemployment? Yes! Yes!
Wow.
Oh, boy. All right.
All right. He said something.
Okay.
He went back into the studio and did something. All right.
Yeah. All right. All right. So we were talking about the, Republican debate is tonight.
Yes.
At, Aisha Tyler's alma mater.
Oh, no.
What are the chances?
Don't blame me.
Aisha Tyler is here, and they're debating at her alma mater.
Very exciting.
Yes. So that's, we were saying, they're wearing it like a badge of honor. They're, Herman Cain, he's been caught before in foreign policy stuff, and it's like them just saying, I'm not going to learn.
Yeah, I'm not.
No,
I know that the internet is available to me, and I could just Wikipedia this stuff.
Yes.
But I'm not going to.
Yes.
Why would I?
I love what else he said. Did you see this, Chris? When I get ready to go visit that country, I'll know who it is.
Who's Becky Stan?
Presumably they'll have a name tag or something.
Yes. Who
like
it is?
Like an
Amway. The country that is also the person of Uzbekistan.
Yeah.
What's happening?
He's had kind of a tough week on foreign policy. This is what I'm saying. How he shoots the top of the polls, the dumber he gets. It's like
they like him dumb.
Someone needs to fill in the dumb void that Sarah Palin would have brought to the race, I think. Even neoconservative Washington Post blogger Jennifer Rubin decried Cain's lack of rudimentary knowledge about foreign policy. Yeah, he had earlier, what was the Israeli-Palestinian thing?
You just get a consultant to spend like an afternoon with you? Just get you basically serviceable.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Just some serviceable knowledge.
The people that coach Sarah Palin, they've got to have patience by now. That was like My Fair Lady. It was just,
she's still eating with her hands. Still eating with her hands. The bathroom is, squat down there. That is not the bathroom.
That was like somebody handed them Nell. They're just like, are you kidding me? She knows nothing. She eats bugs. I don't even know.
Surprise her alone. She's in a corner gnawing on the carcass of a rat. Or anthology,
this is like, honestly, it makes George W. Bush look like a genius.
Yeah.
You think back to that Will Ferrell sketch where he was like playing with a cat toy in the corner. You're like, he's smarter than anyone in this field.
It's the pride of it, though. It's the pridefulness of idiocy that I don't understand. Right. It's one thing to admit, hey, you know, this isn't my forte, but I promise you that I'm going to get up to speed. I care about this country. I want to be president. It's nothing to be like, whatever. It's that part over in the middle there with the brownies.
In a completely unrelated story, Kane mutiny. Herman Kane leads Mitt Romney by 20 points in new Zogby poll. Wow, I love this. In the race for the Republican presidential nomination that has seen several spectacular flashes in the pan, none has burned as brightly as upstart pizza guy Herman. That's a white hot pizza oven.
I like upstart pizza guy.
Yeah.
That's good. I like that.
He is at 38% in the Zogby poll to Mitt Romney's 18%. Rick Perry tied with Ron Paul at 12%.
Womp, womp, and in your face. And it's
Zogby saying it's the first poll taken since the controversy over Rick Perry's hunting camp.
Oh, yes.
N-word head.
Mm-hmm. N-word head.
Yeah.
See, now that's jaunty. That phrase right there, N-word head. It has an English feel to it, doesn't it? So I'll be down the coast of N-word head.
Jane Austen could have written that.
N-word head. Named after our great Earl of Turd, N-word.
And Kane's reaction to it, which was, I have to say, fairly pathetic, because he had the nerve to object until Rush Limbaugh object.
The nerve to object. Like, the nerve to offer limp and half-hearted objection. How dare you kind of raise a fuss.
Can I just say, Carlos says Rocky was in the other day, and he did, I think, make a hilarious analogy. He said Herman Kane is Eddie Murphy in Trading Places. Someone at the end's going to go, you didn't really think we were going to let him.
Give me a break.
That's what I just think would be the hilarious final irony in a very racist Tea Party Republican Party these days. They just did that, with us.
We wanted one because they have one.
And now they're all going to implode, and they're going to be left with Herman Kane, and they're all going to be like, he wasn't dead.
Here is the terror that I feel inside, deep inside in the cold, cold darkness of the night, when I'm lying alone staring at the ceiling. Oh, God, why? Is that he becomes the nominee. And then he somehow gets elected. On the one hand, you think, how could they? But on the other hand, you think they could.
Oh, yep. We'll talk 999 when we return on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Boob does not count as real boob. That's like looking at a 12-year-old boy. Jeez, you should know that, Joe.
I am eating pizza this morning.
That's a 12-year-old boy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? That's the nonpartisan thing, talking about food, isn't it?
Yeah.
You guys got into the most vigorous discussion of pancakes.
We did.
Yeah. I've ever heard.
We did.
There's a place on Sunset called The Griddle.
Yeah. Oh, so great.
That has pancakes that are like a foot in diameter.
The size of like a hubcap. Yeah. I've seen them. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
And you've been there. When you get an order of pancakes, three of them together, and it comes out, it looks like someone has, it's your birthday.
Birthday cake.
Yes,
totally.
It's enormous.
Triple layer
like,
cake.
Oh, how do they know? And I can only order one pancake because I can only finish some fraction of one pancake.
Yep.
But the one that I ordered yesterday was red velvet. It came with cream cheese frosting on the top.
Oh, God.
I felt 4 years old. I was so excited.
That's not an adult breakfast.
No, not at all. I was like, this is just like a big piece of cake. That's what it tastes like. It did not taste like cake. Because pancake is kind of like a misnomer. Because pancakes never taste like cake.
No.
Pancakes taste like, you know, dough.
it hasn't been cooked. No matter how much they cook it.
You have to put stuff on top of it to make it.
Yeah, drench it with other things. Why don't I just eat butter and syrup? Because that's really what I'm doing right now.
You know, I overcame temptation the other day. I was walking in the supermarket and I saw a peanut butter cookie dough.
That
cannot end well.
Uncontrollable groans of delight.
That will not end well after a box of wine.
No. Oh God, just wine and cookie dough?
All right, finish.
It's like a scene from a Nora Ephron movie. She's fat on the couch smeared in cookie dough.
I'll
and
end
wine.
Up being a, what do you call it, Goldie Hawn in the fat suit. Because I already have cats.
Death becomes her. Yeah.
Death becomes her. I'll be eating just cans of icing.
Exactly.
The cats gathered around me.
All around.
In a dirty gray sweatsuit. All right. And what? And your smoking hot husband, Jeff, ordered what?
My smoking hot husband, Jeff, ordered French toast. Okay. Now, yes, this is a completely nonpartisan, slightly personal toast. We're on this like proteiny diet, and one day a week we can eat whatever we like.
Right. You go insane.
We go nuts. Yeah. I mean, if you eat whatever you like, eat something that you would never eat under any other circumstances. This is your day. So I got a pancake. Jeff got crispy French toast. It had been like battered in like crispies.
Yeah.
And then fried, so it was all crunchy with apple pie filling on top.
Crunchy.
And then a bowl of French fries. Because you know what? I'm a grown ass woman, and if I wouldn't eat French fries for breakfast, I can.
That's
awesome.
Right.
You two are. You two are the boss of you.
We are.
You're
the
adults in charge.
We are the adults, and I think that people don't understand the fantastic.
Yeah. I couldn't do that diet. She eats most every day. Chris, she eats. I don't know. What do you have today?
Well, I have cold cuts. Delicious cold cuts.
No carbs, and then
no
she
carbs.
Goes insane that one day.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wouldn't go well for me because that one day, Chris would have to come like pull me off a heating grate that I'm stuck to with peanut butter cookie dough.
Stop it! Jeff made me a cocktail last night and it had Campari and I was like, sweetness, sweet sugar, go down, sliding down so beautifully. That's just one day I get all the sugar, I go bananas. Yeah, it's pretty great.
Oh my god, they're, you know what? I would just be careful because they're like a giant couple. He's six.
Yeah, and I'm 6 feet.
Yeah. So. And they just, there's one day a week where they rampage through the city of Los Angeles eating hubcap size pancakes and
smeared in cream cheese frosting.
Yeah. On her cheat day, be careful, Los Angeles.
Yeah. That's drunk with sucrose.
Do not get between them and their food. All right, Mike in Chicago on Herman Cain, and we were discussing before the break. Hello, Mike.
Hey, everyone.
Hi.
Wasn't it the right who all they kept saying was Obama wasn't qualified, but yet they've got a guy who's the owner of a pizza franchise
but
and
no,
qualifications?
Right, with no foreign policy, even awareness of any kind.
And, and you know what? For anyone who thinks he has a chance of becoming president, rent the movie Nancy Pelosi's daughter made in 2009 called Why the Right Feels So Wronged. 50% of these people are filmed at a NASCAR race. The other 50% are filmed at a truck stop. 100% of these people look like they take a fan boat to work.
Ooh.
It's unbelievable.
I wish I could take a fan boat to work.
That sounds really fun.
Yeah, that's like a good time.
All right.
But it's alarming, right? It's alarming that there's this vigorous embrace of know-nothingness. This is really like a banner for them.
He tries to make it sound like, his whole focus and his expertise is jobs and the economy. This 999 plan is awful. And again, it's part of this dumb because it's simple. I get it. It is simply awful.
So are idiot savants, also simple.
It's like, he just keeps saying it, 999.
Right.
It's simple. And it's like, every economic expert has said this is what?
It won't work. It won't work. I mean, it's adorable, the naivete, right?
It's adorable.
It's cute.
Yes.
You little candidate, you squeffy squeff.
I mean, we were saying that, you know, we're arguing now about tax rates for the rich somewhere in the 30s, and, you know, we're still not, obviously, we have this deficit, this huge deficit, and you're going, what, really?
Yeah.
You're going to cut rich people's taxes to 9?
9%.
And poor people who don't have the money to
pay
any taxes,
at all.
They
have
to pay 9%.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
It's just,
It's a naivete. But it was the same thing during the last election when Sarah Palin was like, you know, I'm interested in Joe Sixpack. I was like, no, you don't want Joe Sixpack running the country. You want Joe Sixpack to take your money at the 7-Eleven. You want Joe Sixpack, you know what I mean? I'm not beating up Joe Sixpack. What I am saying is I want Joe Mensa. That's what I want in the White House. Joe Nuclear Physicist.
Joe the Plumber is running for Congress in a totally unrelated story.
Against
God, no.
Against Marcy Kaptur. we've had on the show quite
God,
a few times. Yeah.
Oh no,
dear
yeah.
God in heaven.
Oh,
Herman
Holy
Cain
God.
On Occupy Wall Street.
He misses the white hot spotlight.
Herman Cain.
I'm ready for the gotcha questions.
Oh wait, they not that start... one. We already did that one. Right. Here's Herman Cain.
Gotcha on... questions like where Uzbekistan is.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what it is.
Exactly.
They are protesting the wrong people.
Uh-oh.
Wall Street did not put in these failed economic policies. Wall Street did not spend $1 trillion.
No, they just robbed us of $1 trillion.
Yes.
It's different.
Yes, he said we should go protest at the White House.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
See, they're clumsily trying to tie Occupy Wall Street to the White House.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not working.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. This is a movement of the people.
Right.
You know what I mean? This is a movement of the people. And no one was screaming and crying about the Tea Party protestations. You know what I mean? How misguided those were.
No, it's only when they disagree that it's suddenly an angry, dirty, smelly
angry,
mob.
And you angry hippies. I mean, there probably are some smelly hippies
with
down
bongos.
There. But you know.
There are bongos,
well,
so.
I mean,
sure.
When is bongo playing not a good time? I mean, if you walk out with someone playing the bongos, you know it is going to be a fun night. That's all I'm saying.
I'd rather them have bongos at Occupy Wall Street than the Tea Partiers had guns.
Guns,
at,
guns.
You know, Tea Party.
Right, exactly. Terrifying.
Remember after the Lewinsky scandal broke, I just remember Bill Clinton playing the bongos. Remember?
Sure.
Wasn't there some report
so there
of him?
Matthew McConaughey.
Matthew McConaughey. Remember that?
There's Matthew McConaughey and a naked bongo playing.
There's some bongo connection there, and I don't know what it is. I'm stumbling around there, and I couldn't figure
out
what it
you.
Is.
I'm with you. We support you 100%.
The wires are flapping somewhere.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. It's some sort of liberal, you know, you. That's something to do with, I don't know. All right, Carol in New York, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Carol. Welcome.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
How are you?
Hi there.
Good.
I'm calling in regards to Hank Williams Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And one would think he didn't recall that his father either got his inspiration from or stole some of his early music from old black bluesmen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What the heck is going on with these people?
Yeah, it would seem odd that nuance would be lost on him.
Well, that rock climbing thing probably had something to do with it.
Did he have a fall on his head?
He fell really bad on his head.
Yeah,
in fact, I think he cracked it in half.
Oh, well,
there
dear.
You go.
Oh, dear.
Uh-huh.
All right. All right. Thank you, honey. Appreciate that.
Oh, boy.
All right. Mitt Romney, he's starting his man fight with Rick Perry early.
Why in the world would we want taxpayers in the United States to be paying a tuition break, tuition credit for people who are here illegally? It makes no sense. If you're an illegal in Texas and you've lived there for 3 years, you can go to college there and get a $100,000 break in your tuition.
So that fight will be, again tonight because Rick Perry had the audacity to show just a sliver, a tiny sliver of compassion compassionate conservatism.
One niblet of compassion. And they're like, outrageous.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you know, there's this kind of obvious, alternative, take on this, which is these are kids who, if they can't go to college, will be having to fall back on the public, dole.
Yeah.
Of some kind. And we're trying to create productive, contributing members of society. No.
Well, and that's the truth of it is Rick Perry didn't actually do it to be compassionate.
No, he just wanted to keep them off of welfare or whatever else was going to be going on. Right.
Right. Well, because again, and they didn't through no fault
it's
of
their fault.
Their own. They're
it's
here.
Not
so,
their fault. You know, and they're hardworking. I mean, the main thing with all the Dream Act approach is that these are kids who are already demonstrating motivation, capacity. They're doing well in school, and they want to go to college. Why are we being such PRICKs?
Some of them even want to join the military.
Yeah.
I don't think that's okay to smell it. But
no.
Okay.
I stopped and I eased up on it. Like
I did.
A speed bump. I thought, and
it's like I could hear the wheels turning in your head.
You could write one big grinding wheel.
Because she doesn't have a button.
Right.
That's a problem.
I don't have a bink bink button.
Well, like,
I had to bink myself. No.
Computer
no.
says no.
No.
And then I drew more attention to it.
Yeah.
David in Washington State, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
I did my best.
Hey, guys. Hey, Herman Cain is full of crap. These so-called economists that he supposedly consulted with to devise his...
Well, they're pizza economists.
...999 plan. He won't disclose. Plus, Bob Schieffer didn't even press him for that. He just was sitting there like a bump on a log, let him talk about his stupid plan that doesn't even... It won't even work. In fact, it will put the country even more into debt.
Right. Well, that's what I mean. It's just, you know, here we go, David, with the, you know, quote-unquote liberal media. It's like somebody should go, well, that just mathematically Physically, it's not a feasible plan, according to any economist. Like, what are you talking about?
Have you noticed, though, that a lot of these journalists just don't ask tough questions, and they never push. They just go like, hey, tell us about your talking points. That was fascinating.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean? There's never like, wait a minute.
Is it because they're afraid of not getting the interview again if they ask tough questions?
You know, I think that's a good theory. But I feel like these guys need these shows. There aren't that many of them. I mean, obviously there's all the cable networks, but the big morning shows, the big Sunday shows, there are only a few options.
Yeah.
They go on those shows repeatedly because they need them. They need to get their message out.
Yeah.
And they should be prepared to defend themselves.
Yeah. Well, exactly.
But they also have Fox News. They can only Sarah Palin has shown that you can only go on Fox News and still have a following.
Yeah, well, that's true.
So,
that's true. I don't know. Maybe that's it. Yeah, it's just
maybe,
like, hey, come
we
on
can
our
hope
show.
For one journalist at least somewhere to snap, to just have him do this nah, and just go, that is the dumbest idea I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now stupider for having heard that.
For having breathed the same air.
I can only hope for somebody to channel Adam Sandler at some point. Insanely idiotic. That's the drop we're looking for.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Oh, please, God, let that happen just once. I love it.
I think it's Happy Madison.
Oh, yes, it comes in handy for right-wing callers.
So, it sounds so reasonable.
Our favorite, what Jim Ward once said to a right-wing caller, you sound like someone left a sponge in your head during brain surgery. 46 minutes after the hour, right back.
Boogity boogity cheese.
Boogity boogity cheese. Right back with more Tuesdays with Tyler on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Tuesdays with Aish Tyler continues.
Hello.
51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Mittens on the campaign trail yesterday.
There are a lot of reasons not to elect me. You're going to find in a campaign like this that people who are running against me are going to take what I've said and try and turn it to say something else.
Yes, trying to make it seem like you're a pathetic flip-flopper that's taken exactly the opposite position of all the positions you once held when you were governor of Massachusetts.
You saw an opportunity and you went for it, sir.
He has. There was a story, I think it was in the New York Times last week. It really is incredible. If you read almost any of his statements when he was governor on almost any issue, you know, pro-choice, gay rights, closing corporate loopholes, health care. I mean, he literally,
He said what he needed to say in order to get elected to governor of Massachusetts.
He's a political tight end.
Yep.
He's like, hey, there's my opening. Scary.
Yep. No principles of any kind whatsoever.
Nope.
Good job on that. Bully. That's
bully.
Hard to have not
bully
one
on
single
you.
Core principle.
He has one opportunity.
Sue in Rockville, Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sue.
Hey, good morning.
Baby.
You know, before I get to my point, I don't really call Mitt a flip-flopper. I call him Revolving Romney because he's like a revolving door because he takes, like, his health plan and he went against it. He flip-flopped around it, but then he came back to it and then said it's a states' rights issues. So he just revolves around until he finally gets to whatever position might get him a vote.
Right. But, Sue, I mean, the funny thing is, I have to wonder, we've watched one implosion after another. Could this latest thing really be his implosion, these documents showing that absolutely Obama's plan was modeled on his, he used his experts.
Mm-hmm. He'll revolve, he'll just rotate, he'll keep spinning until he lands somewhere. You know, it's like one of those spinning things. But I have to just say, my son was home and he was telling me he understands Herman Cain's 999 part thing. He just said, poor old Herman, you know, he's almost 66. His memory's not what it used to be. And he remembers it from his business days. 999 is 9 toppings for 9 pizzas for $9.
There you go. All right. It's a little pizza joke.
Wow, 9 toppings?
That's a lot of toppings.
That's
a garbage pizza.
You're not picking a slice up like that. That's the one that flops down on your wrist and burns you.
It's like one of those pancakes at the griddle.
It's one of those pancakes at the griddle. I need a boost. I need a spotter to eat this pizza.
I need a spotter. What gets a bench press? Wanda in California. Hello, Wanda.
Hi. I wanted to address the deficiencies in the mental thinking of both the Republicans and the Democrats as it refers to last year's election in October. Mm-hmm. Number one, what did the Republicans think were going to happen when they voted to cut spending and funding? What did they think was going to happen to the jobs related to those cuts? And on the Democrats' part, what did they expect when they sat on their behinds and didn't vote because they wanted to show their passive-aggressive disapproval that the president wasn't able to get everything that they wanted.
Yep.
So we in America have gotten just what we asked for, gridlock and a bunch of nothing but heartache.
Yep, yep. Well, you know, I mean, I was reading a story, Wanda, that, you know, real experts in Washington are really, truly worried. Because this, oh, I don't, her phone just dropped in the toilet. Mm-hmm. Anyway, my point is that they were saying that they've never really seen it like this, that this is as bad as it's been
ever,
in terms of it is just ungovernable. And
I mean, there used to be a time where, you know, the senior leaders from both sides would come together to hash out plans that would get the work done.
Yes.
And this is they are obstructionists. They're literally like they're toddlers. And now as I want to know. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, just they throw all their toys.
Right.
And then, you know.
But the problem, I mean,
fall
this,
in their own
yeah,
urine.
Wait, here's the story. I have it here. Congressional dysfunction begins to spook old pros. You know, it's people that have been around Washington forever, and you kind of, because everybody goes, oh, politics has always been nasty, and that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when I've talked about it from my perspective from my dad in Goldwater's day, it was always, it was, you know, the atom bomb ad against Goldwater and my dad, and, you know, but they still work together and they govern together.
Yeah.
Like, now it's just a, this is a, we're, oh, talking points memo, the GOP's hyper-partisan turn after President Obama's victory meant the 112th Congress was destined to test the limits of dysfunctional governance, but it also happened to coincide with a moment in history when the country needed the government to do better than the bare minimum. Instead, it's done less, and that's shaken people who've spent their careers steering the ship of state.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I mean. You don't know what sort of toxic brew of whether it's racism or just obstructionism or what it is that, but anyway, they're just talking about where the economy is in the world economy. That they're playing with fire, basically.
Yeah, well, and they've already demonstrated, and not just that they're playing with fire in the sense that something bad might happen. Something bad already did happen.
Yeah.
Our country, which has never had a credit downgrade, had our credit rating downgraded.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is a direct result of the obstructionist behavior in Congress.
Yeah,
and there's
debt ceiling, disaster funds. I mean, it's
And when you other countries look at this country and the world economy looks at this country and we can't get anything done.
Yeah,
you know
well,
what I mean.
Is,
just,
I mean,
you just decide to step back and say, hey, I'm out of it. You know,
Geithner said something like that. I mean, and Hal says something like this. Exactly. He's like, you know, you do this too. You work overseas, and he said it's getting harder and harder to explain us to them.
Oh, yeah, no, it's impossible.
But Tim Geithner said, I'm very careful when I talk to European leaders. I want you to know I'm very careful. I always say to them, we have tremendous challenges as a country, and we have terrible politics in our country.
Yeah, well, it's true.
I mean, Robert Gates, again, no hyper-partisan, said, I do believe we're now in uncharted waters when it comes to the dysfunction in our political system. It's no longer a joking matter. It appears that as a result of several long-building, polarizing trends in American politics and culture, we've lost the ability to execute even the basic functions of government, much less solve the most difficult and divisive problems facing the country. Thus, I'm more concerned than I have ever been about the state of American governance.
Well, we haven't gotten to this point yet, but I know you've seen it. This video of, like, South Korean parliament.
Yes.
All
right.
There's throwing chairs and we're coming fisticuffs. We're not that far off of that state of affairs. And we laugh and we point, like, look at them. How can a government be so dysfunctional? But we are at that point where we are cutting off our nose to spite our face constantly.
I mean, the Fed chairman, Ben Bernanke, has warned Congress in numerous ways. They're playing, as we just said, playing with fire. You know, it just... I think the world economy and our economy, with being as interconnected as it is,
well, and by interconnected, like a tree grown around a barbed wire fence, they're inseparable. The world economy is the United States economy.
Yeah,
they're affected by everything that happens here, and we're affected by what happens out there.
Yeah. All I've said is Democrats aren't perfect, but you have to put more of them in to give the president somebody to work with.
Right, right. And also the Democrats have got to sack up. And support the president.
Sack up. You heard her. Sack off,
Sack
Democrats.
Sack up, Dems.
It's a new T-shirt. Sack up, Democrats. 58 minutes after the hour. Right back. Tuesdays with Tyler on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour. What a show. Charlie Pierce coming up, a former and future congressman and ass kicker on Bill Maher, Alan Grayson coming up shortly. And, of course, it's Tuesday, so that's always.
Aisha Tyler, actress, author, and activist.
So if today's Tuesday, it gives us
Tuesdays with Tyler. Aisha Tyler. Tuesdays with Tyler. Jim's always in a better, squeezier mood when you're here.
That makes me feel nice and slightly creepy.
All right. With the big Republican debate tonight, we were just talking about people and real experts in Washington are honestly nervous because, you know, you hear about it. We hear about it all the time. Oh, it's gotten so bad. Politics, blah, blah, blah. But this piece I was reading from, Talking Points memo. While the U.S. economy sags and infrastructure decays, Congress can barely agree to fund the government, let alone do anything of positive value. The most recent brinksmanship risks both the shutdown and the cessation of federal disaster relief in the wake of a major hurricane. Hard not to conclude the debt limit debacle, which actively hurt the economy and, as you said, resulted in our first ever downgrade. Signaled to even career public servants that the Congress has veered into dangerous territory. Now when the economy needs more money flowing out of Washington, lawmakers cutting back in the future when the budget will have to be consolidated, Republicans are making it impossible by rejecting any and all tax hikes and insisting the country swallow massive entitlement cuts that Democrats and the majority of Americans don't want. Aisha, how do you think this Occupy Wall Street is going to affect the next election cycle or not?
I don't know. It's interesting. I mean, what's exciting about it is that it's sizable and it's being covered because I was expecting it to be ignored.
Right, like the Iraq War protests.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a few stragglers that seem to think this is a bad idea.
That one dirty hippie on his sign. You know what I mean? And so people are paying attention to it. They're taking it seriously. There was some great footage online the other day of a Fox News reporter speaking to a protester, and the protester making like so many incredibly so many salient, well-founded points that the guy said, well, you're absolutely right, which I thought, well, now knock me over with a feather and call me Sally. But I don't know. I mean, how is it going to affect? I find so many of the people that are at the center of this obstructionist politics so recalcitrant you could tell the sun could come up in the sky and they would insist that it was still night.
Yeah.
So I don't know that these protests mean anything to the politicians. It may mean something to the general electorate. I hope it affects the middle because that's who's going to drive this next election. They always drive the election. It's the moderates. They swing one way, they swing the other way. Hopefully be impressed by the fact that, you know, most of America is not rich and upset because, you know...
That's pretty easy to understand. We're the 99%.
Yeah, we're the rest of all the regular people out here, and we think this is a bunch of bullpoo.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for cleaning that up and not spelling something.
Not spelling that out for you?
Yes.
It's like we...
All right, let's dive into the right-wing
world.
There might
be some six-year-olds listening.
I may need to lend you my box. You know what I'm saying?
You might.
Huh? All right. That woke Jim up. What? All right. Bill Kristol on Fox News Sunday.
I think Republicans should be quiet. I mean, these are demonstrations against the party in power, which last I looked was the Obama administration.
Oh, give it a rest.
They hate the current regulation of Wall Street, which is being governed by a law called Dodd-Frank.
What?
Last I looked, Dodd was a Democratic senator.
No.
And Frank was a Democratic congressman. Wall Street is represented by Democratic Congressman Gerald Nadler.
So
I'd say Republicans conservatives should step aside and let the left fight this out. I mean, who knew the left was suffering from such Tea Party envy? That's what strikes me.
You're adorable, Bill Kristol. Then he jumped into his Bentley and had his driver take him down to the corner store for a cup of organic broccoli soup.
I'm sorry. Occupy Wall Street is demonstrating against the overregulation of Wall Street?
Exactly. Yeah, that's it. That's what they want.
So.
Sure. Okay, Kristol.
God. Is he really that dumb or is he just a liar?
What are the poor people doing out there in the streets nowadays? What are they up to?
Wow.
Jeeves, make me some eggs and tell me about the pores.
Let's pull over and see if they need some Grey Poupon.
Yes.
All right. Steve Ducey on Fox and Friends.
Apparently there's plenty of drugs down there. A New York Post reporter was offered pot for $15 and heroin for $10. By the way, according to the Post today, interesting thing. Number one reason people are the crowd is growing. Number one reason people are going to this thing?
Mm-hmm.
The food.
Oh.
There is free food for
pizza's
everybody.
Pizza's arriving. People keep sending pizzas.
It's Taste of Wall Street. That's
sure
what it really is.
Sure, Ducey. Yeah. The hippies with their pot and their pizza.
Their drugs and their pizza.
Their drugs and their... First it's drugs, then it's pizza, then it's the sex and the hugging.
Ridiculous.
Tom Hartman was talking about...
That is just pathetic. It's not journalism. Well, no,
he could barely get five words out in the right order. Right. So, yeah, that wasn't journalism.
There's a danger that agent provocateur will take over, as they did in the 60s. They'll go in and stir up violence.
Well,
and
one of them's already admitted to it.
The Air and Space Museum.
Right. Yeah, the Air and Space Museum. The guy from, what is it? The
protesting the drones.
American Spectator. Yeah,
and he wrote about it.
Yeah. I know, you doofus. You're not supposed to say. Here's the journalist funded by vulture capitalist Paul Singer to smear Wall Street protests. The campaign to marginalize and destroy the growing 99% movement is in full swing, with many in the media attempting to smear the people participating in the protests. Several of the so-called journalists deriding, in some cases sabotaging the movement, have paychecks thanks to a billionaire, Paul Singer. He's the Republican. He's an activist, Republican activist hedge fund manager worth over $900 million. It appears, he works with those Koch brothers. Why, looky there.
Oh, boy.
It appears that the reporters financed by Singer at the forefront efforts to tarnish the reputation of the 99%. Yeah, this is the guy. Not the sharpest pencil in the box, Jim. Journalist who admitted to infiltrating protests to mock and undermine the movement.
Huh? Me.
It does.
Patrick Hawley.
It does seem like, at least, with the Wall Street protesters, that they're really focused on being, being controlled and nonviolent and kind of what's the right? We're not placid, but you know they're trying to make sure that this doesn't turn into the battle in Seattle.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I think that's important because I think the idea is when you see a Tea Party rally, it's just like barbecues and pickup trucks and that guy kicked his dog. And I think the idea is like let's do something that's civilized and thoughtful. And they're trying to keep it that way, not a lot of shouting. I saw on TV they were showing footage of them. They're communicating with hand signals instead of with boos and hisses. They're trying to do something that's just sophisticated and thoughtful, and hopefully they can keep it that way.
Yeah.
And also, there are veggie burritos. It's a really nice. It's like a really
awesome.
like a well-showered Grateful Dead concert.
Let me give you some more Paul Singer fun facts. He manages a $17 billion hedge fund. He earned the moniker Vulture Capitalist for buying the debt of third world countries for pennies on the dollar, then using his political and legal connections to extract massive judgments to force collection, even from nations suffering from starvation and violent conflicts.
What a joik.
He speculates in the oil markets, a practice which can, of course, lead to gasoline price hikes in the United States. The rise of his political profile can be traced to his work. Oh, he was with the Swift Boat guys. He was one of those guys.
Good times.
Yeah. And he has worked with those Coke suckers,
Hey, you should have spelled that out.
And Karl Rove. He also works with Karl Rove and a bunch of anti-Obama groups.
Karl Rove. They meet in a coven.
Oh, I love this. He led a group of Republican money men in a bid to recruit Chris Christie, but now have shifted to Mitt Romney.
Oh,
they just decided.
Well, just
eat the dog food.
Literally, there was a big cloud of dust, and then there was just one dog left. Okay.
All right.
I guess it's this one.
Singer's hedge fund actually manages at least $1 million above Romney's personal investments. Oh, he's also hosted Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito at
good times. Good
big
times.
Big money dinners.
That's a winner.
Got
that's a party of winners.
Tentacles in the Supreme Court as well. Okay, that's Paul Singer.
80% with this creep sauce.
Eric Bolling on Fox News.
As the bailouts continue there, the protests continue here. What part of broke don't these spoiled children understand? They do seem like petulant little children. Hey, it's not fair to us. We hate capitalism. Well, how about going out and trying to find a job instead?
Sure. It really is the 60s rhetoric, isn't it? Take a bath. Get a haircut. Get a job.
Cut your hair, you stinking hippie.
And what about all those Tea Party people? How did they get to have all that free time?
Yeah.
Do they all have jobs?
Yeah, well,
Well, they were being, courted by the Koch brothers.
Yeah,
here's a newsflash. A lot of people don't have jobs. That's what this is
exactly.
all about.
Yeah. Well, in between racing, they're three-wheelers through the mud.
Yes.
They're
big tops.
Yeah, they went down and did some protesting.
Yeah. Okay, Monica Crowley on Cavuto.
You see a lot of the groups that are behind this, created this movement, orchestrated it, now directing it. Workers' Party, Democrat Socialists of America,
sure.
Of course, the big unions, AFL-CIO, SEIU, and the rest. So what you're seeing is a bunch of useful idiots in the streets of Manhattan, Chicago, Boston, elsewhere in America, and around Western Europe and the rest of the world. Useful idiots who probably haven't paid much in taxes their whole life, have no concept, and all they know is, profit is a four-letter word.
But
Yeah, because there was nobody behind the Tea Party movement. Yeah. No, the Koch brothers didn't completely finance and foment that whole thing.
None of those people have paid any taxes their entire life. Really?
I love what she was like. It's
That's
just
her own
couple,
research,
she's like,
I guess.
It's just a couple of idiots, you know, here, all over the country, all these cities, and also in Western Europe and all over the world. But, you know, it's just a couple dum-dums.
And by the way...
Well, she's using Lenin's term, useful idiots, for people who will work against their own... that could describe the Tea Party people.
Yes,
more,
it could.
More
it could. It could describe all the broke, no home-having Tea Party members who somehow think the Republicans are going to save them.
How does she know they are useful idiots? I don't think she's ever gotten out of her limo to meet any of the protesters down there.
She doesn't actually touch
people. Well, and the other thing is they keep saying, oh, they hate capitalism. No, they don't.
No, that's not
they're
what they're
not protesting
saying. That's not
capitalism.
What they're
saying.
No. No, whenever you have somebody who has money and they feel like their privilege is being threatened, that's when they start to and then you have somebody like Buffett saying, look, I am fortunate to be living in this country. I understand I have certain benefits. I've benefited from living in this country, but I'm not going to be a D-bag. I'm also going to understand that not everybody is going to be as fortunate as me. Why does that make you a bad person? Yeah. Why does compassion make you a bad?
And anyway, this isn't capitalism. Capitalism is building a better mousetrap and may the best man win. Mm. This is these. Wall Street people are hoarding money and sitting on it.
Right,
And not lending money to small businesses.
This many years after the crisis, when you still can't get a loan, when small businesses still can't get
loans. After we bailed them out.
Yes, exactly. Uh-huh. When people with good credit can't refinance their homes.
Yep.
Right. I mean, they're dropping the rate now is below 4%, but no one can get a mortgage.
Right.
Yeah. This is a joke.
Yeah. I love it. And the other meme they keep doing, Donald Trump did it yesterday on Fox.
Donald Duck.
Donald Dump.
I know Donald Dump.
No, he tried to, was on Fox and Friends. They keep trying to say, I don't understand. He said nobody knows what they're protesting. Yeah, we do. It's pretty clear what they're protesting.
They've articulated it perfectly.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. He said, I keep hearing very different things, very far-flung things before suggesting the object of the protest anger is the White House. See how that goes again?
Of course it is. Yeah. Just because you say it, because you try to make it so.
Yeah.
Where is Bachman in the polls now? 4%?
Is she even still running? I thought she was out of money.
We'll see if she shows up
tonight.
Her
false eyelashes get bigger and bigger the lower she falls in the polls.
They're like giant awnings.
Yeah, she has two.
These are the final days of my campaign.
Balanced on her upper
eyelids. They're like pterodactyls trying to land.
Exactly. What is that? Is it a breeze?
Yeah!
No, that's Spock. Yeah. She's blinking. Yeah, poor lady.
All right. 18 minutes after the hour. That was just a brief. I don't know what that was.
Well, we've got the news on in here, so and I've got the attention ADD. Span of like a 3-year-old. So yeah,
that's true.
All right, 19 minutes after the hour, back with a Scotiabank Right Wing World on Tuesdays with Tyler on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hooray.
She's your information slut. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Such a pathetic copier, Bill O'Reilly, 24 minutes after the hour.
Oh, my gosh.
Bill O'Reilly and Dennis Miller are doing a comedy tour?
Yeah. Oh, must be nice to be copied.
Is he doing it live, his comedy?
Don't block the shot.
Do it live!
Yeah, right.
I'll write it and we'll do it live!
Aw.
Thing sucks!
Yeah, that's what I'm guessing.
Can how you much? Tell how funny he already
95
is?
$95 for the cheap seats, $500 for the... Oh,
yeah,
good luck. Capitalism. Good luck, boys.
Good luck with that. I would like that to go down the tubes of the way of the Charlie Sheen tour. I love it how people with no comedy experience think that this is just something someone can write for you. You know what I mean? Like you're going to go out there and read from a podium. You airbag.
Oh, no. What time is it? Mitt Romney has flip-flopped again? Has flip-flopped on the Wall Street protest.
In the last 4 minutes.
Yeah. I worry about the 99%. Oh, he's with you, occupiers.
For now. I'm with you for now. Mm-hmm. Oops. No, I'm not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now you're a bunch of hairy, smelly hippies. Now you're not. I'm with you. No, I'm not.
Until Ducey says something about it. And then he won't well, let's find out what Steve Ducey thinks. After I ask Ducey, I'm going to ask the guy who scoops my ice cream.
Boy, that is pathetic. Yeah. No, I really... You said I have feelings in the place where feelings go, where they're supposed to be.
And on the inside where feelings live. I have some feelings in there. I feel things.
Chris Wallace on Fox News Sunday.
Just as you see this demonstration, and it's getting... I have to say, a lot of coverage, maybe more than it deserves from the mainstream media.
Oh, yes.
But it is an interesting development around the country, and I think worth talking about. What do you make of it? What's going on here?
Yeah, it's so confusing. I don't get it.
What could possibly be
wrong? What do they want?
What do they want? I mean, I'm doing fine. What's their problem?
Well, you know, they've been saying, well, here's one of the things they've been saying, that there's lots of poo and the protesters are dirty and they're leaving their veggie burrito wrappers on the ground. And in fact, what's happening is that there are volunteers constantly walking around Wall Street, cleaning up after the protesters, keeping it immaculate, because the goal here is not to let the other side smear them as dirty hippies who are dropping their vegan burrito wrappers on the ground. And they're not. I mean, you know, look, there's always one guy at every party who spills the nectar on your carpet. That always happens. There's always that guy. Right?
In the slow motion carpet commercial.
Right, you know, everyone's well behaved. One guy's got a beer cup full of cigarette butts, and he's going to be the guy that wobbles towards the bathroom and slowly cranes towards the ground. But most of them are neat, and they're taking responsibility for what they're doing there. So stop trying to make them into smelly hippies.
I don't feel that bad for the people in the carpet commercial. Who serves red wine when they have a white carpet? I mean, seriously.
More to the point.
My mom.
Who buys a white carpet? What are you, a Coke dealer from the 70s?
All right, Brit Hume on the Brit Bear.
Speaking of Democrats, some of them, including the President and Nancy Pelosi, have begun to align themselves with the Occupy Wall Street movement in the apparent hope it will supply Democrats with the kind of energy the Tea Party brought Republicans. But the Wall Street occupiers and their growing offshoots around the country seem defiantly unorganized and focused only on an inchoate objection to Wall Street greed. Well, who knows what this movement will become, but at the moment it hardly seems to represent the 99% of Americans for whom it purports to speak.
Yes, which is different than an inchoate objection to black people, which is what the Tea Party was about. But yeah, exactly. Inchoate objection to that one guy who we think might be a Muslim.
Yeah, exactly.
We love guns.
The president with a bone through his nose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. David in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Dave.
Good morning, Mama. Earlier you were mentioning about the run toward stupid. I think it's also a run toward the lazy with the Republicans, because they want everyone to believe that it's a soundbite. All it takes is just an easy answer, a 999, which is the 666 turned upside down. You may know.
Yeah.
But the fact is, this is a very difficult situation, and when people realize it's difficult, they realize that the answers are going to be difficult. It's not going to be easily just strung out, laid out, and for everyone to follow, like breadcrumbs. So, but smart people, people who can handle critical thinking, realize this is going to be tough, but they also have hope.
You have to be actively against science to be in the Republican field. I mean, you take issue after issue, and it's just amazing. Actively, ignorant about foreign policy.
The job creators are on strike.
Uh-huh. And choose to be. They run headlong into the ignorance, assuming that that's going to get the appeal to people. Because, unfortunately, they're onto something. And there's an awful lot of Americans who really don't want to have to think. They want everything to be spoon-fed to them and just take it as it is and not really kind of parse it out and say, what does this mean for us? They don't care about other people. They just care about themselves. And as long as we've got that kind of attitude, then easy answers are what we want. We don't want anything tough.
Don't like toughness.
No. 29 minutes after the hour, Charlie Pierce from the Esquire.com next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
What is wrong with me? Two totally different people. Dr. Jekyll and Mrs. Hoare.
Stop.
Funny.
Mark. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. In the midst of a rollicking Tuesdays with Aisha Tyler. And as if it can get any more fun, there's only one man now that understands. And that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Very excited.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Good morning, Charlie.
So I'm warming up the house for Alan Grayson, huh?
Yeah.
That's you. You're the opening act, Carrot Top. So, hey, it's, you know, we're giddy because it's debate day, as you know.
And I will be in at Dartmouth tonight.
Will you really?
Oh, it's so beautiful there.
That is Aisha Tyler's alma mater.
Wait a minute. Time out. 1 second. Aisha Tyler and Laura Ingraham and Dinesh D'Souza all went to the same school?
Yes.
Don't blame me.
There's
for
a joke
them.
In there.
How
somewhere.
Bizarre is that?
If only they had partied more and been self-satisfied less.
The three of them walk into a bar at Dartmouth. No, all right, yeah, somebody's finished.
I went there from San Francisco. I was going to like progressify Dartmouth, and I wore Birkenstocks my entire freshman year, and that means including winter term, with wool nice. Socks. I was like, I'll show you.
And you know what? I bet Mitt Romney, in solidarity with Occupy Wall Street, will wear Birkenstocks tonight. Mm-hmm. Charlie, did you see he flip-flopped? He says that now he worries about the 99%.
He hasn't gone in for Birkenstocks since they lost money for him.
Hi. Yeah, he's flip-flopped already on that. Now he worries about the 99%. He's with them.
Yeah. He's astonishing. I mean, once you've taken your conscience and you've put it in a very small mason jar on the top shelf of your closet, running for president is very easy.
Right. But Joe, don't you think that this is something where he realizes now, if I get the nomination, I can't be rejecting this large group of people in the middle that I'm going to need to vote for me?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure he's already calculated that.
Right.
And I'm sure he's already calculated that the fact that he's been pandering to crazy people for mm-hmm. now two election cycles won't matter,
right.
You know, come next fall.
It's like being the last kid on the field with kickball. You can't even believe you're still standing and be like, I better work out some kind of a defense strategy.
Yeah.
Everybody's looking at me now.
I mean, Charlie, I was just saying this. I think it was in the New York Times over the weekend. But, I mean, you know, if anybody, because having been in Boston all those years, he literally, you can take any statement he said when he was governor. Is it the polar opposite of what he says now? And, it, you know,
You've actually got to go back further than that. If you really want the almost limitless vista of the 9,000 positions he has on every issue, you've got to go back to the race against Ted Kennedy.
Right.
Where he was trying to fob off a little bit of Kennedy's support too. That's where, you know, he came out and said he was going to be gayer than Ted Kennedy.
Yes. Whatever that was.
who was many things, by the way, but gay was not one.
Not
of them.
Gay, no. Anyway, and I love your piece on Herman Cain. Oh, holy mother of God, just stop this, please. Herman Cain's quote-unquote rise consists of a win and a pay-for-play straw poll in Florida and his ability to muster at last count 18% per support in New Hampshire. I love you said the notion of him as a transformational figure in black politics based on his embrace of the shop-worn notion of the liberal plantation and the idea that the majority of grumpy white folks in the old Confederacy are so far along on race they'll make him the nominee of the Republican Party makes me wonder, seriously, we all ought to just take the next 6 weeks off and forget about politics for a while.
Yeah, I think things have started too soon and we're all a little bit superheated now. It is still only 2011. Let's all calm down. No, but I mean, the Holy Mother of God part, occasionally as I'm blogging, I'm overcome by the spirit of my Irish grandmother.
Yes, exactly. Well, I you know, but, and yet I was saying, I don't know what these polls mean at this point, but you see the Zogby poll has him 20 points ahead of Romney in first place.
Yeah, we're nationwide?
Please, yeah, I guess
stop.
So. Yeah, I
please.
All right,
mean,
well.
I mean, come on. The Republican Party in 2011 is not going to give up 50 years of profitable bigotry to nominate a black guy.
Yeah, that's
They're
what
not
you say.
Do it.
If, with all due respect to John McWhorter, if he thinks Cain's being black doesn't bother the white reactionary voters at the heart of the GOP, you should just give it time. Yeah, I was telling Aisha that Carlos Salzrocki was saying he's Eddie Murphy in Trading Places. He just doesn't realize it yet.
He's feeling heady. I mean, he is their new Michael Steele.
Yeah.
And we all know how well that went for Michael Steele.
I mean, I think I point out in the blog, too, go back further. Go back to the future of the Republican Party, Congressman J.C. Watts.
Oh, I don't remember him. No.
Oh, and a dead.
Oh, yeah.
Ted
Oklahoma, Sons, right?
He was, you know, Newt Gingrich's, pet. Alleged second in command.
Hey, I love black people. One of my best friends is black.
You know, there's an old story they tell that they used to tell at my alma mater, Marquette University, when they would try to recruit a basketball player. Marquette was right in the middle of Milwaukee. I mean, there's nothing rural about it, but they had one tree in the middle of campus, so they took pictures of every building on campus, like in a 360 degree circle, as long as that tree was in the foreground. That's what J.C. Watts was in the Republican Party.
I remember. I don't know if it was 08 or 2004. before, where they were showing, they were talking about the big tent. Remember that brief period where they were trying to delude everybody into believing it was a big tent? Yeah. And they would just, during the convention, they would just pan to their delegates.
Yeah, and you could feel the cameraman panic.
Oh, yeah.
When someone would mention something vaguely about inclusiveness, like, oh God. Must find melanin.
Same brown guy over and over again. First he's black, then he's Mexican, then he's Asian.
Changing hats.
Yeah, exactly. The guy's he's sweeping up. He's like, I'm not a delegate. I just work here. Stop. Yeah.
But I mean, honestly, Charlie, if talk about, you know, a double standard. If a white person was as race baiting as much as Herman Cain is, I mean, he's deliberately trying to, you know, stir this up almost every other day, isn't he?
Herman Cain is a talk show host. That's what he is. That's what he does. I mean, he's let's say facts. He's much better at being a talk show host than he is at making pizza. Because Godfather Pizza,
not so much. Not so much.
Godfather Pizza is made out of those things that you pull out of dress shirts after you buy them.
I love your piece. Ann Coulter has no idea what a mob looks like. I mean, isn't it hilarious how, you know, whether it's a...
Ann Coulter walks through the valet. If there are more than three people, it's a mob.
Yeah. If they disagree with you politically, they're an angry, smelly mob, right?
Well, no, but I mean, I found it interesting that all of a sudden, all of the major Republicans on the landscape started using the same word.
Yep.
And then I realized that she has got a new book out.
Mm-hmm.
Or, if by book you mean organized spittle between pages. And then that's her theory in this new book. So I said, aha. You know, all the Republicans have young aides who idolize Ann, because they remember her as, like, you know, the transformational conservative figure of their youth.
When she was relevant, yes.
Plus the woman they thought about when they were, you know, having the big tent after mom turned the lights out.
Dear God. Good
feeling.
Yeah, but so, and I said, you know, that's where this came from. That's where this meme came from. It came from that book.
What is exactly is the meme? Unwashed mob? Dirty mob?
Any mob. Mob.
Mob. Just the word, just mob. But I mean, what's amazing is that, you know, the progressives are a mob, but the crazy Tea Party tailgaters
all the,
are,
the, you know, 100,000 people
Americans
in Madison were all thugs, apparently.
Yes, exactly, thugs. You know, I think by your very nature, if you're a thug, you're not showing up for any kind of organized protest.
No.
Thugs just ramble about and take
drunken dallies,
breaking bottles.
They can't be thugs and, like, vegetarian hippies.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Somebody's going to have to make a decision.
Let's choose. Let's do that.
So the big debate tonight, it's hard to tell. I mean, is this going to hurt Romney? Obviously, the most damning thing to come out about any Republican candidate is that they actually did something that helped people. And the latest, of course, newly obtained White House records prove fresh details on how senior Obama administration officials used Mitt Romney's health care flaw in Massachusetts as a model for the new federal law. Even recruiting some of Romney's own healthcare experts. I imagine he'll have to explain that a little more tonight.
I, by the way, I'm sure the reporter really had to pry those details out of the White House.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but it really is anybody's guess at this point what's going to happen, right?
I mean, it is. I am loath to dismiss Rick Perry yet. He's got a lot of money. He's had a rough month. But when you look at that field, somebody's got to be the other candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, it just ain't going to be Herman Cain. I mean, as much as people like him, it's, you know, the air is going to go out of that balloon very quickly.
Now,
but Rick Perry's the one standing there with some money behind him. Now, he could get up there and you know, just absolutely step on himself again, as he's been doing. But, you know, I just don't see this party accepting the inevitability of Mitt Romney. Not at this point.
Well, I mean, what about, you know, again, the thing that we thought they're just whispering behind closed doors, they actually dropped it, the C word, cult. They actually played the Mormon card. You know, what about that? Because obviously people have been saying that for years, too. There's no way they're going to nominate a Mormon.
I think it's going to be interesting to watch. I mean, it's very easy to finesse that in Washington and very easy to finesse that in New Hampshire and Iowa. Let's see him finesse it in South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see him finesse it in, you know, Mississippi and Alabama and even in Texas.
But don't you think that this extreme domination of the Republican kind of set of choice making by the extreme right, by the crazy base, you have anybody who's going to satisfy the crazy base is going to be too right-wing to win a general election, and anybody who's moderate enough to win a general election, the crazy base is rejecting.
I would agree on that in principle, but we haven't had a presidential election with 10% unemployment in a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
And I think that absolutely changes any conventional wisdom there is.
Mm-hmm.
Ordinarily, I would agree with you. Ordinarily, I think, you know, and why this hasn't dawned on the Republicans yet is beyond me.
Well,
but that their primary process is pushing people into unacceptability.
Well, mm-hmm. Yeah, and John Huntsman, here's the only one, like, the only reasonable one that was yesterday tried to
The fact that, you know, some moron can stand up and make a comment like that, you know, first of all, it's outrageous. Second of all, the fact that we are spending so much time discussing it makes it even worse.
And he just plummeted farther in the polls on the Republican side.
I was about to say, John Huntsman hiring a TV network to commit political suicide right there on live television.
Yeah.
He went up there with that guy Frank Wolf, who got up in the House and said maybe Grover Norquist has too much influence.
Yeah, well, I didn't know Huntsman was still in the race, so that was
your
exciting.
Steps, Frank, that's a dead fish.
Well, I just look forward to seeing what will be booed or cheered tonight at the debate.
God.
That's always the fun thing.
I'm going to do some live tweeting. I didn't live tweet the last one, but I did live tweet the Fox one, mainly out of rage and confusion.
Yes.
I was going to tweet once. I was like, I can't stop tweeting.
Maybe pushing a gay, uninsured soldier, veteran down a flight of stairs.
Yes, a gay, uninsured old grandma on Medicare.
pushing her downstairs and into the electric chair.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yay!
It's a great
Charlie
shot.
Pierce with the tip-in. Charlie Pierce from Esquire.com.
Hey,
see you next week.
By the way, Aisha, is there anything you want me to check at, like, the campus police to see if there's anything outstanding up there? Or?
Oh, no, I was so well-behaved. And, in fact,
I have
murdered someone and buried them under the green to have outdone all the crazies that went to my school. Remember that it was Dinesh D'Souza and Ingram. They were smashing shanty towns and eating babies the whole time I was in.
Charlie Pierce, do a little nosing around on the old Aisha blotter.
Right?
Yes. What's that? Say that again.
And bugging gay student organizations.
Oh yeah.
Right?
They were furious at everyone and anyone that would come near when they weren't driving around in their Humvee and feeling self-satisfied. So,
all right.
Give my alma mater my best. I loved my 4 years there, and I would have turned it into 4.5 if my parents weren't hounding me to graduate.
Charlie, are you Ivy League elitist too?
Yeah. Exactly. All right. Love you, Charlie. See you next
Bye-bye.
Week. There you go. All right. Nose around. Get some dig up some old dirt on Aisha Tyler.
I loved it there so much.
46.
Oh, the beer was delicious.
Beer.
Conservatives have good money for beer. That's one thing they're good for.
I love beer. 46.
Beer.
46 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We've got to keep up our strength for the fight against evil.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. We'll have a good time. Leave your worries behind.
Will you be mine? Oh my God, I just got the best idea. We need to put together a video montage, Ustream montage of our guests chair dancing.
I do a lot of chair dancing.
And do you send it to all our listeners? So you have a little montage of Edie McClurg and Aisha and Hal and everybody, chair dancing.
I refuse to live a joyless life.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Damon in Massachusetts, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Mama. Hey, Mook.
Hey, baby.
Hey. Aisha.
Hello.
Aisha.
I know how you say
I'm
that. you're like Jim. You just make it sound dirty. Just the name.
I don't know. She inspires me. What can I say?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm calling from the most liberal place in the most liberal state in the union. So liberal that it's known as the People's Republic of Cambridge.
Yes.
I wanted to talk about what you guys were talking about before, about this whole movement, this Occupy Wall Street. It reminds me of what Gandhi said. Didn't he say that first they ignore you,
mm-hmm.
then they laugh at you,
yep.
then they fight you, and then you win?
Yep.
Hey, I wanted to make a shout-out to Aisha. Aisha, I was up there at the Big D when they were smashing shantytowns, committee to beautify the green before Winter Carnival. Yeah, that was a lovely, lovely
time. Oh, this is some
time.
Sort of Dartmouth code that you're
talking
about.
The very short story is that, right, I think I told this once on the air before, you know, around when all the colleges were being forced to divest from South Africa before the regime changed there, some students had built a shanty town to kind of represent the fact that the money of the school was going to, you know, spill the blood of Africans. And some enterprising young conservatives thought they would destroy those shanties with sledgehammers while there were people inside.
Oh,
yes.
Yikes.
Ooh. Oh, yes.
It was a couple of weeks before Winter Carnival, and so, mm-hmm. you know, they called themselves the Committee to Beautify the Green before Winter Carnival.
Yes, because political protest is not as important as all the, you know, college students getting drunk and having sex with students from other colleges when they come to visit.
Yeah,
I
was just
going to say, priorities.
I went to the University of Spoiled Children. We weren't that politically active. I don't know. I was, like, getting a theater degree or something.
Now, Winter Carnival, by comparison, is a time when we build a big fort. and a bunch of girls from all the school, you know, like the whatever, what's down there, Vassar? Come up and get a little bit.
If you laid them all end to end, I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
Oh, Jim Wood, bringing the Gertrude Stein.
Carl. Carnival. Good times.
Oops, oh, no. I went to somebody that couldn't. Okay. Carl, hello, Carl in Nashville. Go ahead.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
You know, what's amazing to me is that, okay, let's be honest with ourselves. The Tea Party is mainly white, older, uneducated. They're Republicans.
Right.
And that's what they are. Not diverse at all, unless you conclude that tan people are diverse from untanned people.
People from the right and the far right.
Yes.
Exactly. So isn't it amazing that the first instinct for the Republican Party, their reflex and their instinct when faced with a racist element of their party with those signs and everything that they had is to react towards that way, and the first instinct and reflex of the Republican Party of 2012 is to see what's basically America in the Occupy Wall Street of different people, diverse as America is. Their first instinct and reflex is to run away from that.
Yeah, that's right. Actual diversity. You know, because that's what I mean. I love that they tried to say, oh, the Tea Party is very diverse.
Yeah.
And not just Republican. Yes, it is.
We've got Irish people
really
and Republican, we've got people of German descent.
Really white Republicans. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're even bigoted against each other. Like, if you're not the right kind of Christian. Robert, this is the pastor of the First Baptist Church. It's the Rick Perry guy. Pastor Jeffress.
Part of a pastor's job is to warn his people and others about false religions. Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, and Mormonism are all false religions. And I stand by those statements.
He is a delight. I would love to have him at a party. He's like, I'm talking to you, but it's only briefly because I know you're going to hell. I don't want to be tainted.
Tonight is going to be entertaining, the Republican debate, in that headlines are like Republicans starting to pile on Romney. It's basically
fun,
by any
it?
Means necessary to deny Romney.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Chew off your own leg there,
you're
trap doggy.
You're a Mormon health care reformer, sir.
Mormon. Your false religion and you're wanting to help people.
Yeah, he is pathetic. He, you know, had criticized the Wall Street protests like all the other Republicans. And then yesterday, Jim, he said, I worry about the 99%.
Oh, I do. I'm very worried about them.
So I look at what's
I don't know
happening
who they are, but I worry about them.
They might show up outside of my house and break a window.
So I look at what's happening on Wall Street. My own view is, boy, I understand how those people feel.
Oh, sure you
do.
Richie Rich. So, you know, the response to the 99 is this thing called We Are the 53%. This is this new thing. This is the Republican response or the Tea Party response to the 99% is they want to have a bunch of conservatives, you know, talking about whining about their own, you know, problems with, you know, how they can't afford gas for their third car.
Yes.
And Eric Erickson, he led it off and he wrote a little letter. He says, I work three jobs and have a house I can't sell, but I don't blame Wall Street. Suck it up, you whiners. And, well, you know, what he doesn't underline in that statement is when your three jobs include appearing on CNN and starting Tumblr.
yeah.
Maybe you need to revise. You're not making sandwiches at Subway, jackhole.
Well, yeah. Brian and Charlotte, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Brian.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
You know, it appears that the Republican candidates' poll numbers rise and fall based on media coverage. So is it a coincidence that Herman Cain now is getting so much media coverage? Because it seems to me that the Republicans are trying to make a play for black voters. Now, smart black voters won't fall for what they're doing. But it just seems to me if Herman Cain goes the distance, then they could say, oh, yeah, see, you can't call us racist anymore. We let a black guy get all the way to, you know, the presidential nomination. It just seems odd to me that they allow him to, you know, have gotten this far.
I don't think anyone's allowing him to do anything. I think there are people who are responding to him. He seems populist. He seems, you know, down to earth. If by down to earth, I mean he doesn't really know a lot.
Yeah. yeah.
You know, obviously there's always a party machine, but people are voting for him in these straw polls.
Did you see
him? He looks like their grandpa.
Saturday Night Live sketch. You know, he says something and huge applause, and the moderator goes, you understand that doesn't translate into actual votes. And he's like, I'm aware. 58 minutes.
But they've been trying to get a black guy for a long time. They've been working on this for years.
58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Working on an extra layer of it because Aisha Tyler's here. It's Tuesdays with Tyler. And we have a new jingle.
Aisha.
Oh, yeah.
Aisha.
It's really Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, isn't it? And also Tom Petty. A little Petty in there.
He's tracked himself about 15 times.
Yeah. Oh, that was awesome. Thank you, Mike and Raleigh.
Little Ario Speedmount. Not Ario Speedmount. Electric Light Orchestra.
Not only does he obviously have a lot of free time, he knows a lot of people that have a lot of free time that can go in studios and sing things like this.
Chris LaVort.
Yeah. And also...
Voice meeting, Jim Ward.
There you go. And MG. One for Mama. Mm-hmm.
Box wine drinking radio slag, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. Why, that was lovely. And also just your basic generic.
Sexy liberal Stephanie Miller.
Oh, why, my goodness. Thank you for bringing that up. Go to sexyliberal.com, sexyliberal on Facebook, sexyliberal on Twitter to get tickets to all the upcoming shows. People be crazy. I thought Seattle bitches be crazy. Bitches in Phoenix be crazy.
Hilarious. Pamela. It's so adorable when you're ethnic.
Can't wait. Can't wait for the show in February. February's already sold out. We just had to add a second show.
OMG.
I asked my Republican husband to take me to the show for my birthday, and he said yes. A shout-out would be awesome. Oh, yay. A shout-out to you.
I was just in Seattle picking up your dregs and floppy seconds.
And
I had so many people who came, and they were like, we went to Stephanie's show last week, and now we got to come see you this week.
Aww.
And it was so fun and adorable. And they all said they had a great time at your show. Aww. And then I said, thank God you didn't run out of money, so you were able to drive over here to this lovely club in this strip mall in Kirkland, Washington, to see my show. But a lot of so many people said that they heard about the show and that they, you know, from listening to you, and it was nice that they got like a double dose of comedy there.
Aww, yeah, it's such fun. A magical circle of sexy liberal.
The circle of hugs comes together.
I know, and we have lots of these, like people come from mixed families like me. They bring a Republican spouse, and the spouse has a hilarious, fabulous time too.
She dragged her husband. She's like, my husband was just tolerating this, but he actually had a good time. I said, well, you know, I aim to please. I'll break him. Doubtless.
All right. Tyree in Hillside writes, greetings, Steph and company. Remember when the so-called birther movement rampant and the Donald joined in and said he had people on the ground in Hawaii checking it out? Remember he said, you'll be surprised at what they're finding. Remember that?
Yes.
Funny thing is, they never revealed an iota of anything. No. All great big lies. Yes. You're right, Tyree. Yes.
You're a lying sack of crap.
La, la.
You're a lying
sack of crap. He found out that he was born in Honolulu.
He said it was going to be huge. Crap. Remember, Jim? Huge.
It's going to be huge. I got people on the ground. Huge people.
I would like him to, and I don't intend this in a violent way, crazy internet people with nothing to do this morning.
Yes.
I would just like him to fade away into nothingness. Cut to headline.
Angry, violent, liberal slut threatens Donald Trump with obsolescence.
With invisibility.
Did we mention she's black?
She's going to kill him with a black hole, with a point of singularity that he'd be sucked in towards an event horizon.
You know, I'm just old enough to remember, Jim, I lived in New York back when he was, you know, Marlo Maples, and I remember that. Just one press conference after another.
Classy.
There's nothing going on.
Classy.
It's just a bunch of huge pile of...
It's huge.
It's classy.
Huge pile
She's
of horse crap. We
just
like
a
to
friend.
Keep it classy.
There's nothing
I've
going on.
I've never seen her boobs. All right, that's a lie, but...
He's just a liar.
He's a classy guy. With a K, not a C.
All right.
Classy.
Oh, speaking of New York, Crazy man has a reason for jumping rope nude on the Manhattan Bridge.
Oh, of course he does.
They always do.
You need a reason for anything. I'm just from New York.
Look, I'm making a sociopolitical statement here.
Okay.
Flap, 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 flap.
When asked, the man... Because people in New York always have a reason.
Yes, they always have a reason.
When asked, the man explained he jumps rope naked on the Manhattan Bridge because he used to jump rope naked in his apartment, but he spent so much time doing that that he wore the floor out and he was afraid he would fall right through. So he is that's why he does it naked on the Manhattan Bridge. So see, there's a reason. He likes jumping rope.
And he also likes the sound of his manhood.
Flopping.
Slapping against
slapping.
His leg.
Yeah. Flap, 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 flap.
See, I didn't curse that time. But I made a picture.
Another weird stack news. Arrest made in Amish beard bandit attacks. Ohio police have arrested at least three men.
I hate when that happens.
Yes. Don't you?
The Amish are going out of control. It's Rumspringa.
I was the victim of a drive-by hairdressing in Hollywood, West Hollywood one time, but that's a different story. They've arrested at least three men suspected of participating in a string of break-ins in which the victims have had their beards and hair cut off and stolen. Authorities...
What?
I swear this seems made up, this story. Authorities believe the mastermind behind the attacks is a renegade bishop named Sam Mullet. His name's actually Mullet. His name's Mullet. Mm-hmm. And he's a...
When are we going to get past this Amish on Amish crime?
He leads a tiny Amish sect.
Can't we all
just... He leads the Amish who's in Whoville.
Mm-hmm.
Two out of three arrests are Mullet sons, Johnny Mullet and Lester Mullet.
Okay, I'm sorry. Is this a band? Is this a punk band? Are we...
The mullet.
Is Green Day taking some time off to pump
mullet.
People in the country? What's happening?
Hey, now. You're a rock star. All right. I don't even know what I'm saying.
That's not Green Day.
That wasn't Green Day. I don't know what I'm thinking. Thank you.
We just played Green Day.
Yeah, sure. Holiday. I knew that.
So cute.
Oh,
wow.
You're
so cute.
Aisha and I were just sharing our mutual love for every day. It's still 1994 for me when I was young. We were super sharing our mutual love for Gawker. I don't know why. I just love Gawker
so
lately.
Much. I love Gawker so much.
They have a report, presumably written by a boy, that says, report, middle school girls have dumb lockers.
Yeah, stupid dumb girl lockers. Smell like flowers and yuck.
According to a report today by the New York Times, in a trend likely spurred by girls' dumbness and inherent tendency to think that dork things are cool, tween females across the nation are filling their lockers, considered purely utilitarian spaces by people who understand what they're even for, unlike girls, with miniature furry carpets, motion sensor equipped lamps that glow when the door opens, mirrors, decorative flowers, and magnetic wallpaper in floral and leopard print patterns.
Wow.
That guy just sounds like a hater. If I opened my locker and a light came on, like the briefcase in Pulp Fiction, bam!
Heavenly Choir, right?
Oh my God.
Damn.
My locker literally smelled like the last 18 people who occupied it. And the boy who had the locker next to mine used to carry booze. He used to carry rum in a flask. So sometimes it smelled like rum and cherry Coke.
Yeah.
I know. Anything to deaden the dull pain of high school.
I'm
push it down.
Older than you, but almost every locker in my high school, every girl had Bruce Jenner, and every guy had Farrah Fawcett.
They had lockers in the olden days.
Shush.
Bruce Jenner. Bruce Jenner looks like an old Asian lady right now.
Yes,
I know.
Yes, an old lesbian.
I met him in the green room at Larry King.
He sounds like an old lesbian too.
He is on that website, Men Who Look Like Old Lesbians.
Their sex in that home is being had with all eyes closed.
No wonder
closed.
I'm still attracted to him.
All eyes closed.
And Justin Bieber.
Oh,
looks like,
Stephanie.
What?
He looks like an old lesbian.
I had a huge crush on him. Okay.
He looked like a woman.
Anyway, Gawker goes on to write.
You look like a lady.
I'm sorry. That was just
I've had a bunch of people.
For.
Stop by my locker and say, wow, your locker's so cool, said Nola 11. Shut up, Nola. That's such a lie. You're a lie. Nobody likes your stupid locker except maybe, oh, yeah, girls. boys' lockers continue to be awesome.
Boys' lockers.
Some Gawker boy wrote that.
Continue to be awesome. If by awesome you mean smell like feet.
My friend and I were discussing that yesterday. Boy smell. Like when my nephew comes and stays with me, I love him to death. It's just boy smell.
Boy smell.
There's
boy
some
smell.
Boy. It's
boys
unidentified
smell.
Boy smell.
Boys have smells. That's the thing with boys. They have smells and they fight.
Other than that, they're awesome.
I would like to point out that Gawker also has a headline apropos of nothing. Man won't let cops or fires stop him from eating Taco Bell. He went through a drive-thru, he ordered Taco Bell, then he passed out in his vehicle, and then the cops showed up, and the car caught on fire, and then he insisted, no, wait until I eat my taco.
Wait till I finish.
Wait until I eat this 37 cents worth of food, please. Let me digest this.
Listen, you remember when we did the night show, I could not live without that chicken fajita pita. I was not starting that show until I was done. There's something in there.
Uh-huh.
Crack.
Oh, sugar. Uh-huh. They put sugar in there.
Tracy in Los Angeles. Meth. Hi, Trace.
Hey, guys.
The Stephanie Miller Show has no information that there is meth in a
fajita
pita. We apologize.
They can't afford
the implication.
To put
meth in those. All right. Sorry.
There's like 12 cents. Sorry.
Hello, Trace.
That's hilarious. Listen, I have my tickets for the Sexy Liver Show here on the 22nd.
Yay! Oh, you got the rare Saturday tickets. My goodness.
Yeah, the Saturday tickets. My sister and I will be there in our flapper costume because we're going to a costume party right after. So.
Oh, that's so Bridget Jones.
There, so you know.
We're all
going to
mock you.
We'll all dance to Charleston.
Yeah, all right.
Thank you. Listen, I love Charlie, but I disagreed with him this morning when he said, you know, he's right. We've not had 10% unemployment in an election before. However, we've actually not had a political season like this either. I mean, total obstructionist policies, and I think people are starting to get that.
Yeah.
I posted the lyrics to the Schoolhouse Rock song, I'm Just a Bill, on my Facebook page about 2 months ago because I was just so sick of people talking about what the president wasn't doing. And I said, you know, it wasn't a catchy tune. They were there to teach you something. Right. So for everybody that's remember how bills become law, let's run through this one more time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I think people are starting to get it. So I have hope.
Yeah, no, I do too. I mean, I you know, and we'll see, Tracy. I mean, I think this is a real grassroots thing, this Occupy Wall Street, and it's
yeah.
not controllable, but I agree with Paul Krugman that I think this could be the start of something big, because, I mean, a lot of
this
what they're talking about is things that we've been talking about for years.
I agree.
Right?
I agree, and I think if you really want to know what they think about you, you played all the stuff the nuts on the right were saying. I mean, that's what they really think about America. That's what they think about most of us in America.
Right.
So if that's what you want in leadership, then go ahead and put one of them in, and we can all kiss our collective asses goodbye.
Adorable. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they. I know. It's almost like they're going, I hope that stupid 99% doesn't wake up.
Right.
No,
right.
They're waking up.
But we soothed them and lulled them into this false sense of like, this is just the way it is. You know, for us to be on top, you all got to be on the bottom.
Right.
Like the people on the bottom.
Oh,
like, wait a minute.
Mayor Bloomberg actually said, you're making the job creators mad. Don't do that. You're scaring them off like they're kittens or something. They're so easily spooked. All right. 17 minutes after the hour, back with more Tuesdays with Aisha Tyler on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Everything everyone just said is either obvious or wrong.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Thank you.
Stephanie Miller.
All right. Ha, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. Stephen writes, Steph, I love Aisha Tyler. I like to go to meeting with her.
Aww.
Oh, listen, don't use my sponsors in a dirty euphemism of what you'd like to do to Aisha Tyler.
Exactly.
God's sakes. By the way, this hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. It's the best way to hold an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Promo code Stephanie. Also, Chris in Yankton says, because when Aisha's here, it's Vocabulary Corner. Steph, Vocabulary Corner with Aisha Tyler has arrived. Obsolescence, singularity, etc. My dictionary runneth over.
Oh, yes. It was SAT word morning, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Obsolescence was my favorite.
It's making Garrison hot.
I used Event Horizon the other day.
I have multiple syllabic Tourette's.
Awesome. Hi, Garrison.
Hello. Yeah, I just wanted to say, Aisha talking nerd, so sexy. Aisha talking about naked jump roping man, not so much. please keep talking nerd.
I upset myself.
She is a nerd. She is a giant nerd, and yet somehow makes it sexy. Terry in Vancouver, Aisha, it's for you.
Oh.
Hey, Aisha. I'm the official crocheter of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, mm-hmm. It's exciting. You have so many different official people in the yarn arts.
Yes. Mm-hmm. What can I say? But I wanted to let you know, you had asked that I donate a blanket to a poor person.
Oh, yes. I remember that.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to let you know I made 5 baby blankets.
Oh, I'm hugging you right now.
And donated them to the local regional hospital.
Now
here.
I'm kissing you on your face.
Uh-oh. Okay, and I'm loving
it. Not in that vector.
No tongue, though. No tongue.
Jealous as hell. But I wanted to let you know that when I donated them, there was a very, very nice, studly young nurse person.
Ooh, hello.
There. Gorgeous guy. Mm. And he overheard me say that I'm donating these in the name of Aisha Tyler. And he said, oh, I so want to be her husband, Cracker.
He wants to be the Cracker that Aisha Tyler licks.
He does. And I said, honey, you're going to have to line up behind my 68-year-old husband's ass for that job.
All right. Everybody take a number, for God's sake.
That was so sweet. I can't thank you enough, because I did say I don't need any more blankets, but there are people that do, and I'm so grateful that she did that. And just, I really am.
I just
really
love how that was a magical circle.
Ooh, Stephanie
Miller.
That he knows that that's the Cracker that you lick
from
you being on.
Stephanie Miller.
And then a baby got a blanket.
A blanket. And then all was right with the world.
Yay!
And instead of my normal state of mind where I go home full of rage and crying into my steering wheel about the state of affairs, now I feel like there are good people in the world.
We're all happy and snuggly.
Oh, they made me so happy.
And guess what's going to make us happier? Former and future Congressman Alan Grayson will be here. Kicks ass on Bill Maher.
They're upset about the fact that Wall Street has iron control over the economic policies of this country, and that one party is a wholly owned subsidiary of Wall Street, and the other party caters to them as well. Mm-hmm. That's the real truth of the matter, as you said before.
All right, and this is PJ O'Rourke taking the ass kicking from Alan Grayson.
Get the man a bongo drum. They found their spokesman.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Well,
take your shoes off, get a bongo drum, forget where to go to the bathroom, and it's yours.
Listen, if I am a spokesman for all the people who think that we should not have 24 million people in this country who can't find a full-time job, that we should not have 50 million people in this country who can't see a doctor when they're sick, that we shouldn't have 47 million people in this country who need government help in order to feed themselves, and we shouldn't have 15 million families who owe more on their mortgage than the value of their home, okay, I'll be that spokesman.
Yeah, five hippies, bongo drums, unwashed. No toilets.
First standing ovation for a guest ever.
Wow.
We'll talk.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
We will talk
awesome.
To him about that. And,
Dear PG O'Rourke, get back in your Bentley limo. Get back to your house.
I'm sure.
Drink your blood of babies and be quiet.
I'm sure Mitt Romney will electrify the crowd tonight.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I do not define my candidacy by my religion. A person should not be elected because of his faith, nor should he be rejected because of his faith.
Mm. Stop sounding reasonable and American. That's all not right. Our way. Our way is to judge and reject. That's who we are as a people.
Buddy in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Buddy.
Hey, morning, Mooks and Mama. Hey, yes. Two things. I don't know if Aisha remembers. I was the one who gave her the Boogity Boogity Cheese World Tour t-shirt in Detroit.
I do remember you very well. Hi there.
I forgot, though. You're like 7'3".
Yes, I am.
You are exaggerating.
You know, I'm it's a really big one. Hard to explain that shirt to, like, drunk Kenny Chesney fans.
No, it's difficult. Yeah. It's very difficult. You were stumbling down the street in Detroit that night.
But one thing.
By the way, a lot of husband crushes this morning. Harmony writes, "My sweet husband can't get enough of the boogity boogity goodness."
Oh.
Sorry, buddy. Go ahead.
Hey, Mama. The one thing is, I don't know if you've seen it. Is Aaron Burnett made being a snotty, stuck-up, rich piece of crap seem really unattractive?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw her on CNN.
No.
She got her new show.
Oh, she had the thing where she was making fun of the people on Wall Street, you know, and then the end she put on a pair of sunglasses with, like, little pot leaves on it. It's just so smug and condescending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And it was like, oh, here's our liberal media.
I love how, I know that we were saying yesterday, they keep saying, we played a couple bites in Right Wing World about, oh, it's the 60s all over again. What, the Vietnam War was a good idea?
Right, right, exactly.
Civil rights were a bad idea?
Just Americans, like, trying to take control of their own destiny and say, hey, we're not going to let other people speak for us anymore. We're going to do it ourselves is somehow bad. But, you know.
No, they literally said this would be like the 60s. We can't let that happen. Like, it would be better if we were, still in Vietnam and had no civil rights. Yes. Would that be better?
And that women were still, you know, staying home and suffering in silence. Can I just say quickly that Aaron Burnett thing is a symptom of the fact that no one watches the news anymore, so they're trying to jazz it up with jokes.
Yes.
Yeah, you know what
I mean? Stop that. Please stop it.
Yeah.
On behalf of us professionals, stop it.
Even Anderson, who I love. I love you, Anderson. He has this little joke thing at the end of his show. It's
ridiculous.
It's painful. Yeah, the ridiculous.
Alan Grayson
is
next.
Ridiculous.
For you,
Stephanie Miller.
You're dreadful, and so is the program.
I didn't write it.
Yeah, but you know the people who do.
Nobody writes this mess. It is the Stephanie, clearly. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour.
We disavow as we go along.
Yes, we do. It's radio. It just vaporizes immediately. There's no record of it.
Did that even happen?
No.
No.
1-800-STEPH-1, do the phone number, and oh, it's that time. Why is it newly minted rock star?
And now it's time for Congressman Alan Grayson and your chance
former
to
future.
Face the Grayson.
Oh, hang on. Get him his cheer. He's used to his rock star standing ovations. He doesn't go anywhere now without the good morning, former and future Congressman Alan Grayson.
And yet I still deign to do your show.
I know, right?
A giver. Always giving.
No, I love the show.
First standing ovation ever for a guest on Bill Maher. How awesome are you?
Yeah, I I don't know. I just say what other people are thinking, but for some reason nobody else is saying.
Yeah, well, I mean, I got to say, you know, you have been saying all of this stuff that now there is this movement behind, with, and you put it into words, obviously, perfectly, and that's why the crowd reacted like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, English is my first language.
Yes, yes, unlike some Republicans.
Right? Organizing words into cohesive ideas.
Yeah.
She wanted to apologize to all her whom. What was that all about?
You know, Alan, this is really, you know, you've watched this happen, and it's stuff that you've been talking about for a long time. What do you make of, you know, the way the right wing is mocking them, I think is good news, don't you?
Well, you know, as Gandhi said, first they ignore you,
yep.
Then they make fun of you, then they fight you, and then you win. We're mm-hmm. at stage two now.
Well, you know, what I'm hoping is obviously that this leads to, you know, what you and I have talked a lot about is them sweeping people like you back into office that the president can actually work with and get some of the things done that you've been trying to get done for so long.
Well, one thing that's painfully clear when you listen to the Republican debates, when you listen to the candidates speaking, people like Herman Cain, who says that if you don't have a job, it's your fault.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that's clear at this point is that they have no answers. They literally do nothing but blame the victims, and they try to find people to blame for all the rest of us to blame. That's all they do, and I think the country deserves better than that. The president is offering better than that. He's at least got a plan. Over and over again, you see that the Republicans think the only real problem in the country today is that rich people don't have enough money.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and I have to say, you know, you've always been one of my heroes, but you're also a noted psychic at this point, because, you know, you took all of this crap for standing up on the floor of the House and saying Republicans' health care plan is, you know, hurry up and die. And, you know, you the right wingers screamed about that. And then, you know, we watch these debates where they're cheering, you know, letting an uninsured person die. And like I said, this Occupy Wall Street, this is exactly what you've been talking about and saying for so long. And how does that make you feel to see these cities after city, all of this going on?
Well, I'm usually right. It just usually doesn't take this long.
You're plucky. Now, I know that Krugman also said, I think this can be the start of something big. How do you see this affecting the 2012 cycle or not?
Well, I think it will. Look, now people's eyes are open. The scales have fallen from our eyes. Why is this Occupy Wall Street? Why is it not Occupy Grant's Tomb or Occupy Central Park? It's because for different reasons. Well, first reason is that Wall Street has created a system that has generated enormous, enormous, staggering inequality in this country. I mentioned on the air last night on Rachel's show that if you look at Wikipedia, according to the Wikipedia, we are the fifth most unequal country on the entire planet. There's almost 200 countries on the planet. We are the fifth most unequal. And the result of that is that people can't see a doctor when they're sick. They can't afford to pay their rent. They can't afford to pay their mortgage. They have no pension. They have no IRA. They have no chance to get their children into college. And, you know, what people are saying is that Wall Street is responsible for this. Wall Street is responsible for creating, promoting, and protecting a system of enormous inequality. And then protecting it by how? By completely dominating our economic policy. People have had for the past several years enormous staggering needs. So who gets the help? Wall Street gets the help. The GAO audit report of the Fed identified $16 trillion in loans that were handed out to the big banks. That's $50,000 for every single American, every single man, woman, and child in the country.
We were just saying this. That's our money, Alan, and they still won't lend, right? They still won't lend a small business. They won't, you know, even like Aisha was saying, if you have good credit, you can't get
No, if you have excellent credit, you still can't get money.
Yeah.
You know, but they're hoarding. They're like, you know, they have money in their mattresses.
Yeah.
And right now, right today, the Fed has $1.6 trillion on deposit with them from Wall Street and the big banks, and they're paying them $40 billion a year not to lend to us.
Yeah,
not to lend to us. So we've created a system of enormous inequality, a system where Wall Street controls one party entirely and the other party caters to it,
mm-hmm.
and a system where the people who are actually responsible for the problem that we face, Wall Street, they actually did the crash. They made the crash happen. They profited from the crash. Not only did they not have to suffer for it, but they got a $16 trillion bonus. And not a single person has been indicted or convicted. And, yes, I have been saying that for years.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I mean, the interesting thing, too, I mean, we've been, I've got to play you a clip from Right Wing World. Bill Kristol actually said this.
I think Republicans should be quiet. I mean, these are demonstrations against the party in power, which last I looked was the Obama administration. They hate the current regulation of Wall Street, which is being governed by a law called Dodd-Frank.
Okay. He actually said they're protesting the overregulation. Wall Street, that's what they're protesting.
Well, you know, they're blind to what's happening in front of their eyes on Occupy Wall Street, and they're blind to what's happening in the country. People are miserable. People are miserable. Mm-hmm. They can't pay their rent. They can't pay their mortgage. They can't pay their credit cards. They can't pay the food bill. They have to figure out how to live through coupons and from paycheck to paycheck. That's what's actually happening. Do you think Kristol understands that? Do you think he knows anything about it?
Or cares?
Or cares? Half a century ago, Ellison wrote about the invisible man, meaning African Americans. Today, the invisible man is the people who suffer, mm-hmm. the people who lose their homes, the people who lose their jobs, the people who can't see a doctor when they're sick. They are invisible to them.
Former and future congressman, I got to ask you, you know, because I admire the fact, because as people may not know about you, you're a very successful businessman. You don't need to be in politics. The fact that you want to try to get back in this game and really do something and help people. I mean, I was reading an article today we were talking about that a lot of political pros have just, they're sort of terrified that we have become ungovernable almost in terms of the partisan gridlock. How do you see that? Do you see that, you know, subsiding?
Well, underneath it all in Occupy Wall Street is the sense that the system is completely unresponsive. That at this point there is no political way out of this. But I'm not that pessimistic yet. I saw that we were making some progress in the 111th Congress before the Republicans ended that in the 112th. And I think that we can make more progress, but we need to be bold.
Yeah.
We need to be aggressive. We can't just split the difference all the time, because then you end up with nothing.
Well, I hope, you know, what some people have said, and let me get, you know, your take on it, is because some people are saying, oh, is this our Tea Party? Is this, will this push the Democratic Party more to the left? And my thought is, I hope so, because I think it's these conservative Dems that have stopped us from getting a lot of the things we want.
And embolden the Democrats to actually put their principles into play, because, you know, they talk about what they stand for, but then they don't act. You know?
So is this going to help put more Alan Graysons in Congress?
I hope so.
Aww, that's so cute. The cutest.
Yeah, it's been disappointing at how ineffective our own side has been in pushing for the kind of reforms that we insist we want. But when we're given the opportunity to push them through, you know, we're hamstrung by fear and
Congressman,
inefficiency.
That's right, isn't it? It's just like a lot of these polls reflect the huge majorities of Americans want the things that you and other progressives have been talking about.
Well, then it can't be fooled anymore. I mean, maybe the theme for the 2012 election should be won't get fooled again. You know, mm-hmm. when they can come into my district, because I introduced a bill to let anybody buy into Medicare at cost, Medicare for everybody, a four-page bill. If they can come into my district, just because I introduced that bill and got 80 co-sponsors in a week, and firebomb me with all sorts of ugly trash, mm-hmm. you know, utter nonsense like Alan Grayson's a liar, Alan Grayson's a national disgrace, you know, nothing but vehement lies, and get away with it. Mm-hmm. You know, at some point the voters have to wake up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in particular, our side has to vote. You know, our side can't just lay off out of the sense that things ought to be better.
Well,
then things get worse. You know, as Pericles said 2,400 years ago, you can ignore politics, but politics isn't always going to ignore you.
Mm-hmm. Congressman, this is what, you know, my friend Randy Rhodes and I, you know, have obviously said over and over, and I know you've said, is that's why, you know, progressives, you can't stay home. You got to get... Mm-hmm. President Obama, more Alan Graysons, you know, get out and vote and get a more progressive Congress, because, you know, that's how you're going to get your Medicare for all, your public option, your, you know, actual financial reform, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, look, the other side understands this all too well, as Naomi Klein has pointed out, that they see a crisis like this, a crisis that they created. I mean, look, I'm not the one that made Wall Street collapse. You're not the one that made Wall Street collapse. I didn't eliminate 20% of our entire national net worth in 18 months, the last 18 months of the Bush administration. I didn't do it. You didn't do it. They did it. And they took this crisis that they created, not only got themselves $16 trillion in cash, but in the process have exploited it to to try to wreck Social Security, to try to wreck Medicare, to try to wreck Medicaid, to try to wreck unemployment insurance, which we actually pay for in our paychecks, and they want to take that away from us.
Yeah.
We've now reached the point where if anything bad happens, the answer is always eliminate all benefits for the middle class and boost tax breaks for the rich. And they always exploit to the hilt any chance they get that is based upon the suffering of others.
What is your guess that what's going to be booed or cheered tonight at the Republican presidential debate? What new layer of meme do you think we'll get to tonight?
I think it's all the same. I'd love to hear one of the questioners ask, is there anybody here who thinks that we shouldn't have more tax breaks for the rich? And if so, explain why. They're all going to say no. It's exactly what I think. They're tools. You know, that's what it comes down to. You know, some of them actually are bought and paid for, but the others were born bought. You don't have to actually pay them to have them believe this flagrant nonsense. I mean, look at them one by one. Cain, here's somebody who made a personal fortune by paying people $8 an hour to deliver $15 pizzas. That is the story of Herman Cain. Romney, somebody who got really, really good at sending jobs overseas and made over $100 million in the process.
Mm-hmm.
That's his own special expertise. And then beyond that, the career politicians who in some sense are even worse because they really have been tools their whole lives. There's no one on the other side who actually gives a damn about any ordinary human being. And it's painfully obvious at this point. Even the ones who pretend to be different, like Huntsman, they're really not any different.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't give a damn. They have no answers, and they just don't care.
Yeah. Alan Grayson, thank you for going slumming on my show after your jump into the mosh pit on Bill Maher.
So this is it. So you're getting rid of me.
Yep, this is it. Keep on fighting the good fight. We love you, honeys. Thanks so much.
Thank
All right,
you.
There he goes. Alan Grayson. All right, 46 minutes after the hour. Back with the remaining moments of Tuesdays with Tyler.
Wonderful.
The Stephanie Miller Show.
What's all that noise?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour in the midst of Tuesdays with Tyler.
So exciting.
1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Damien in Harrisburg says, Steph, I heard Eric Cantor is concerned about the pitting of Americans against Americans in Occupy Wall Street. Here's my question. What did he call it when the gay soldier got booed or when the crowd cheered when the idea of letting an American without insurance hurry up and die? Oh, Damien, you're the smartest boy in class
today. Ah.
That's different. Oh, by the way, Rick Santorum, that was the whole, gang of the booing of the gay soldier.
Mm-hmm.
The gang of the boo soldier is a totally different thing.
Santorum.
Boo.
San boo. Santa boo-um.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, that wasn't my best word.
Yeah. So Chris Wallace challenged Santorum on his response because he said there should be no sexual activity in the military.
Oh, no sexual activity in the military.
Ship has sailed.
Yeah, in 1 million more ways than that.
Chris Wallace even challenged him on this response, pointing out that lifting Don't Ask, Don't Tell has to do with troops serving openly, not their sexual activity. Wallace also pointed out the rhetoric Santorum uses is exactly the same as was used in 1941 to oppose racial integration of the military.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, Santorum not only doubled down on his opposition to open service for gay troops for the sake of, quote, recruitment and retention, but stated his belief that being gay is a choice. It's not only defined by sexual behavior, that plenty of people have changed their orientation through ex-gay therapy.
Oh, sure. Okay.
It
has been proven repeatedly by studies conducted by the military that having gays in the military does not affect recruitment. It does not affect unit cohesion in any way. He's also the same guy who I think posited that you might be able to get AIDS through saliva.
Mm.
Or handshakes. And isn't he a doctor?
No. What, Santorum?
No.
No, he's not.
No.
What is he?
Well, Google it and you'll see.
Okay, well, yeah, I'm not Googling Santorum because I just ate breakfast.
Hey, you know, the very first Sexy Liberal Show, we gave money to recall Walker and the Republican 8. Bing! We got two of them, and now the effort to recall Republican Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker, it will begin November 15th. Woohoo!
Yay.
Meaning an election could be held as early as next spring. Recall petitions will be circulated starting November 15th, giving them until January 13th to collect all the signatures they need. Mm-hmm. It has become clearer than ever that the people of Wisconsin, the traditions and institutions of our great state, cannot endure any more of Scott Walker's abuses. To preserve Wisconsin, we must begin the recall of Walker as soon as possible, said the state Democratic Party chair. Two Republican state senators, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And, hopefully this time next year, the people of Wisconsin will be saying, who was governor last year? I don't recall.
I don't recall.
Kiwi.
I don't recall.
Notice he just looks, because I saw a lot of him on TV yesterday when they were talking about this story. He just looks like someone hit him with a plank in the head, like right before he goes on TV. Just a little mildly stunned.
Blinking to make the little dots go away.
Cross-eyed, lack of sort of any facial expression.
I see little lights.
and little tweety animated birds.
Like birds.
Tweet, 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 mm-hmm. tweet, tweet.
Aw, nice. Aw, Susan.
Ken, my right-wing love muffin in Illinois. Aww. Welcome. You're on the big show. Hi, Ken.
Just got one question for everybody.
Uh-huh. Very exciting.
What exactly do they want Wall Street to do?
Stop ripping us off, A.
Start lending money.
Yeah, start lending
start
money.
Start lending money to average Americans so that they can pay their mortgages and that small businesses can pay their employees, which they're not doing. They're hoarding money.
Oh, okay. So Wall Street isn't lending money.
Yeah,
lending
right.
money to people who don't have jobs. That's
lending to people. Okay, I have lending money to people who do have jobs. Normal, regular, working Americans cannot refi their houses, cannot get money to pay their to manage their payrolls. That's what's happening right now with real working job creating quote unquote Americans that they can't get loans.
Does Wall Street make the laws in this country?
They influence the laws greatly, and I think that anyone on the right or the left
donating to Democrats mostly.
No.
Democrats are some Democrats are not mostly. They're part of the problem.
Mostly.
I agree with you, but.
I mean, I think this is a larger issue that is very complex. So maybe you don't totally understand how it works.
Yeah, that's too complex. That's what people say when they just want to blow you off.
No, I'm not blowing you off. I'm not blowing you off.
You don't understand because I'm an elitist and I know more than
that's,
you.
I'm not saying that to you. That's not what I'm saying. I don't even fully understand it. But I think if you looked at what economists are saying, what they're saying is that Wall Street that they're tight-fisted and they're preventing banks from being able, and banks are also hoarding, and that's a part of the problem. They're not loaning to average Americans with jobs and businesses. I'm not trying to say I'm better than you or that.
Right, Ken, doesn't that, as a taxpayer, that you gave them a bunch of your money and to bail them out, doesn't that piss you off? That you're a small business and you can't get a loan now?
I would have let them fail. I would have never bailed them out in the first place. None of the car companies or none of that stuff. I would have let them all go.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Do you think that would have been good for the American economy?
I think it would have been. I mean, look at the economy now. I mean, would it really be much worse off?
There'd be a lot of auto workers.
I think most conservative and liberal economists believe that the economy is in bad shape, but would be in much worse shape if we hadn't had the bailout.
And the auto industry, that's the worst example ever, sir, if you don't mind saying.
Not only the auto industry.
Spectacular success. We saved the
entire success. The entire auto industry, and they paid us back with interest.
Yes, thank
you. Yeah, but what is Wall Street doing?
Elitist,
it.
And you say
you people
dummy.
With your facts.
Someone threw a wiener at Tiger Woods.
Aww.
Someone threw a hot dog at the fries.com open. A guy broke onto the green and threw a hot dog at him. Don't know what that was about. Some sort of crazy protest.
Yeah, just like a mystery protest. Like there was some kind of hidden Easter egg of an idea in there.
Yeah,
like you use your wiener and now here's an extra one.
Well, that's
like
just how you know things are bad in Hollywood. Lindsay Lohan has stolen $90,000 worth of limo rides. Elite transportation limo. She has $90,000. She apparently rode with them, booked limos for friends and family.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, this company charges $6,000 an hour? That also includes security.
Wow.
Yeah, she has. She didn't pay the bill. $90,000.
A lot of money.
Yeah.
Maybe time to take out a rental car.
Catch a cab now and again. All right, AishaTyler.com.
AishaTyler.com, Twitter.com/ AishaTyler.
Yeah.
And check out my podcast at GirlOnGuy.net.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. That's it for us. We'll see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.